What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
And there's Logic.
And this is Mini Del Macho.
See, I knew he was going to go with his game name. I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm Emilio, just a regular person.
Everybody knows me by Mini.
That's true.
Everybody.
Yep. All right. And if you're watching live on Twitch, you will see that we got our new camera. We still have our goal set up in the Twitch chat to raise money for it. Instead of getting the new camera, though, it's now pay Emilio back. Yeah. So we fronted the rest of the money because we didn't want to wait.
We got our new camera on credit. Woohoo.
And America. Off, I'm gonna make these motherfuckers crawl on their knees until I get my money back. So please visit our Patreon page. And speaking of which, thank you to Johnny Walker and Christopher. Johnny, I know you were at the beginning of the month. It's just weird. And thank you for the last 3 weeks. And Christopher, I think you adjusted yours. Thank you for the more money.
That's awesome. No, super especially appreciated. And just before, it was a funny story, just before I made it to the studio, I was literally turning the corner into your neighborhood, and then you called me and said, hey, Chi, not sure if you left the house yet, but do you mind getting a controller? I'm like, I left the house. I'm almost there. You're like, well, you need to turn around and buy a controller then, because we have four people here, and we only have three controllers.
And we need an adapter.
Oh, and no, and then as I finished buying the controller, oh, by the way, we could use this adapter. Have you heard of it? It's a HDMI to micro HDMI. I'm like, I can't find that here at GameStop or Target. And then they're like, oh, well, it's like, you know, it's like Best Buy is around the corner. Okay, I'll go get that. And then as I'm ringing up at Best Buy, oh, gee, hey, by the way, we could use some ice. So it turned out to be three different places.
There's
and then
no
an extra hour before I made it here today.
That story is 100% true.
That's exactly 100% true. Yeah. And I'm out $60.
Yeah, but we'll get you.
No. It's okay. Thank you so much, guys. It's just a funny story. And yeah. All of it eventually is supported through the Patreons and you guys and supporting us. Money or no money, either way, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, and thanks to Todd Monster. Special shout out to him making some fat donations, helping us get closer to paying Emilio back for that camera. It's making a hell of a difference. We still got to tweak a few things. We still need our overlays. I'm not sure what our next big investment is going to be, possibly another a larger TV or display, but there's no shortage of needs here at the DL Gaming Studio. So we will find something to spend all that money on.
Yep.
How do you know how deep our needs would be, though, Bobby? In terms of how I don't know. I think
never
we could
ending,
use
is what he's saying. Like as soon as we get something, yeah.
There's always room for
it's like a dam with water. You could just plug holes.
We also need a big funding for the DLG con that's coming up this summer.
No. Yeah. Oh my goodness, right?
Yep.
It's more like a neighborhood block party, but same.
You guys wouldn't believe how much it is to rent a whole trapeze set that I want to have there ready to go. But you know, we'll see. We'll see if we can afford it. It's your fault if we don't have fun there.
I think we need to, what's it called when you something rig it?
Jerry rig it?
Yeah, jerry rig it.
Yeah.
We could just get two of your trucks and then a tightrope in between.
I think it might work.
Can we just compromise with the bouncy castle?
I'm sold.
I think somebody would hurt themselves in there.
In a bouncy castle?
Oh, yeah. Drinking in a bouncy castle, that could go terribly wrong. Also, we didn't mention this last week, but we changed our Twitch name. It's digital_logic. I think we forgot to mention that at the top of the show. So a lot of people last week showed up looking for DL Gaming, DOTnet, our old name, but it is now digital_logic, just like our Twitter, just like our Instagram.
And don't forget, logic is spelt with a K.
Yeah.
And don't spell it underscore like I tried to do.
And is spelt a word or is it spelled?
I think
it's both. It depends on what
it's
part.
It's both, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And do not fall for the imitation brand. Apparently, there's these fucking Indian dudes that are doing I wasn't going to talk about it. All right, here we go. They stole our logo and name, and they're just putting stuff on YouTube under us.
Yeah.
It's our logo, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, they used our logo. Yeah.
No way.
It's just like a guy and his brother. It's like nothing.
Yeah, it's like kids or
I told Bobby, I was like, don't bring it up on the podcast because we don't want to give them. And the first thing I do is blah, blah, blah. Don't Don't look him up.
It was kind of weird. I noticed it months ago.
But. When you're good, there's bound to be competition. Nicki Minaj, Cardi B. It doesn't matter. Yep. We're the Nicki Minaj of PC Gaming Podcast, by the way.
If we put all our butts together, we would have Nicki Minaj's butt.
Mine's pretty fat, right? Though.
Is it?
Yeah. For a skinny guy.
I hadn't noticed. Nice.
It's all those rice and beans.
Moving on.
All right. On the radar. So games that we have took notice of this week. First up, We Happy Few has been delayed. So this was a game that got a little bit of buzz a while ago, I want to say, and then everyone forgot about it.
I did.
Yeah, because their trailer was so good. You know, mm-hmm. It looked like
very... It looked promising.
The trailer looked amazing, but I know some people were actually getting into whatever early access / beta gameplay, and it kind of fell short, didn't it?
No, I think we all agreed that, well... We weren't going to buy into early access because the whole story wasn't there. It's not fleshed out. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's a multiplayer where you're going along with the development and like PUBG, they're adding stuff every week and it doesn't matter because there's no story. But this, it's a story-based plot. I don't know. Can you play through the whole thing, get the whole story? Why would I go back later? It's just a weird thing to buy early on. And then we were like, what happened to it? And we thought it came out. But anyway, apparently they're going to delay it a lot further. But what I thought was nice is they're offering refunds to all the early access purchasers. Really? So I thought that was a nice. So hopefully it will not be another Stomping Lands.
Yeah, that's a nice gesture.
That's
I remember when the game came out.
Let's not bring up the Stomping Lands. Let's not throw them under the bus like that. I swear to all goodness, I can actually get one of the developers on our show from the Stomping Lands and see what he has to say. This is going to happen. 2018
hey,
goals,
you've been
guys.
About it for three
and
years.
You know me, and you know, sticking to my goals. Right, so let's make it happen.
Yeah, you know, when it came out and people actually started playing it, I don't think it was what they expected. It wasn't what I expected. From just the look of the game. Wasn't it like a survival game? Not the Stomping Lands. We Happy Few.
Oh.
Like, it kind of was a survival game. I recall a lot of roaming around but here's the thing. It's all very, what my impression of it is so topical. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost happy that they delayed it, which means what they have is not up to their own initial standards. And if it's not up to their standards, it definitely won't be up to our standards. So by all means, please delay it. Make it better for us.
Yep. Games are hard to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the longer, the better. I mean, unless it's, I mean, yeah, just take longer. I don't really remember. I can't think of a title that I would not want them to take longer before releasing.
It's almost better.
What? It's almost better if they don't.
Yeah. Something release. I took note of this week, there is a publisher sale on Steam by Dovetail. Not really familiar with them, but when I looked at their games, it's all those train simulator games and Microsoft Flight Simulator games. Mm-hmm. Does anybody play these?
Yeah, and like, I think the people that do play this only play these. So they wouldn't be like listening to our podcast or reading PC Gamer or anything like that. This is what they do.
Yeah, they have some devout fans.
Yeah, they have the flight sticks. They have the pedals. Mm-hmm. They have the whole thing. Oh, and the three monitor because I think
for the immersion.
If you look at the airplanes, they have three windows in front of them, mm-hmm. and it's just setting up the same view.
Well, Microsoft Flight Simulator has been around forever, but the version that they have on Steam, a lot of people have complained, is not the true version of it or something. I don't know. There's a heated debate about it, but these games have always kind of interested me. I have one of these. I mean, they have the train simulator game, but then there's like a million DLC, and I have one of these train simulator games, and I have played it, and it was, I don't know. It's like playing with a train set. It's a different kind of game. It's like fooling around. It was like a Christmas edition one or something, and like the little train went around. Like it was actually a toy train that went around a Christmas tree. But they do have one that's always interested me. It's the train ride from San Diego up to, I think, like L.A. or something. So I always kind of wanted to check that out. But I don't know. That's one of those games that doesn't get a lot of publicity, but there's always like people that are just crazy about them.
It's guaranteed. Like they're going to make their profit every time.
Yeah.
Emu Killer says, that isn't true. I have a friend who plays Flight X or whatever it's called. He says, those are so realistic. You fly a plane. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe him. Now he's a fucking pilot.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea behind these games. Yeah. They're like, they're not Guitar Hero. They're that other thing, that other game that actually teaches you guitar. Like, they're designed to be as realistic as possible and not gamify anything.
Yeah.
And I do believe that these simulation games are spot on, because that's exactly what they're emphasizing. They're emphasizing the actual reality behind the cockpit of it. And any true pilot is able to play the game, and that's how they train pilots. They train pilots through simulations. Yeah. So if they can't get the flight simulator right, when that's what they actually use as a training device, then they wouldn't last in the market at all.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I truly believe that flight simulator is probably virtually identical to what a lot of real life pilots are using.
Yeah. Hmm.
Hinks and Chad is saying apparently Prepare 3D is the version that Lockheed Martin uses to train people.
There you go. And if they haven't made the jump to VR yet, like, they're dropping the ball. Well, maybe the market isn't.
I think they were the first into VR, because I remember, I know this is kind of awkward to bring up, but not awkward, it's relative. In middle school, we actually had a career fair, and during that career fair, they had a simulator, a flight simulator program, and it had the VR elements to it. It had the VR headset.
Whoa.
So I think flight simulator is way ahead of the game in terms of, you know,
Well, let's see. Can we click on one of those and see if it has VR support, Bobby? Just curious. This is literally, this is going to like 0.1% of our audience. Nobody plays these games.
I don't know. I've always wanted to check it out.
I'm curious about it.
Nobody plays these games, but there's one. There's a market there.
I played the truck, Euro Truck Simulator on VR. Yeah.
Looks like no VR support on Flight Sim, but, you know, on this version. I'm sure there's a version out there that does. Rocksmith, yeah, that was the name of the software. Now, I call it software, but it's kind of like a game on
Rocksmith.
Steam, where it helps you learn guitar.
Yeah, actually, I've used that. It's really, really good.
Hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Can you bust out some tunes?
I have been trying. No actual avail.
All right. Someday you'll be a tune buster, dude.
Right, someday. I can do like one chord, so that's something.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not impressed. That's not impressive, dude. Hey, you paid $300 to play one chord.
I wouldn't, not nearly that much, but it was.
The last game I wanted to bring up was Nantucket. This game, I've been constantly seeing it on Steam every time I open it, you know, when they advertise different games. But I finally looked into it, and it actually seems really interesting. So it says, chase after Moby Dick and live through the golden age of American whaling in this seafaring strategy game. So it's like a sequel to Moby Dick. After the after Moby Dick takes place, you play this sailor who kind of carries on the story. So I don't know. This looked like a really hardcore strategy game. I don't know.
Like a card-based strategy?
No, it's got like visuals, but it's not like action-based at all. We're watching some footage of it here on Steam right now, and you get a feel for it.
It's hardly footage.
Yeah, it looks like they do have some card things going on. You're customizing your ship. I don't know if this is in-game footage here, but I don't know. Just the subject matter kind of interests me. I mean, a game about whaling. I don't think we've seen that before.
Yeah, not much of a breakthrough there.
Yeah. And Moby Dick, I mean, that'll...
If I struck out all night at the bar at the end of the night, I go whaling.
Oh gosh. Wow, Emilio. So,
they need love too.
It's true. I think BBWs are beautiful. And like the big B. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I guess that wraps it up for On the Radar. Let's talk about what we've been playing this week.
Sure.
So who wants to start? Should we start with Overwatch League? You guys attended live?
One. That is the big one.
Yeah, guys, this is the big news. So Mini over here, Mini Del Macho, if you don't know who he is a good friend of mine, and I met him from the Twitch world. And he's been on the show once before. Do you remember which episode?
A couple times.
Twice? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you subbed in. Yeah. Oh,
three
you subbed
times?
In for me.
This is third.
Oh, this is your third? Third time on the show. Yeah. Awesome. No, and Vorkonis, please don't get that confused. I was just kappa-ing. Anyways, sorry, that was me commenting on to some comments on Twitch. Mini Demo Show and I, we purchased tickets to Overwatch League, and it was just yesterday. So all this California. Is fresh and new.
Burbank,
California. Blizzard has their very own exclusive arena for esports, and this is the first year.
Yeah,
so so we're here to give you our first impressions of what it's like to go to Overwatch League. I don't want to talk too much. So many, you go ahead and take it off, since you are the Overwatch expert.
Okay.
Of the crowd here.
Yeah, it was. It's right in the heart of Burbank, which is basically like just the center of LA. And it was the arena was really nice. It was the screens. Like I was just blown away by like the screens they had like wrapped around this arena. Like it was like seamless. There was like. For us, it was like a 180-degree view because we were just sitting in the center of it. So anywhere you look, you could see part of the screen, and you couldn't really see any like bad transition. It was just perfectly melded and
seamless.
Yeah, definitely. And the games that they had, my favorite team was playing,
which is
stomped, the LA Gladiators.
Oh, right.
They got hella stomped.
We annihilated 4-0.
It was so uninteresting to watch stomped. Yeah. I walked away and went to the bathroom and took enough time to take a number two, but didn't even piss or shit at all. It was so bad.
So they were.
Let's continue. Who
I can't remember who they were playing. Some East Coast team. New York Excelsior, because Pine, if you guys have been
East Coast, attention. Korean Coast, whatever. Same.
So Pine is like the star player on the New York Excelsior team. And he was just destroying every one of my favorite people. Like all my favorite players just getting rocked by this McCree or this Widowmaker. He's just making all these shots. And they won the first three games and basically first three wins. So the fourth game, nobody was interested. Everyone was just like looking at their phones. And like it was just it made my heart break because my team just got waffle stomped into the drain.
So I saw this outside of this. But about the league, 50% of all the games are 4-0 stomps. And I think that's the – maybe they're – nobody knows where everybody stands. This is the first year. They're working out the kinks. Yeah. The teams don't got their shit together. Some do, though.
Yeah.
And that's why 50% – so that it's not as competitive as it should be, and that's what happened to your team.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. The reason for that is some of the teams have been playing together for years, while some of the other teams are like really new. Just in the past few months, they've been together. Maybe the past 6 months, they've been training. So you got like the Seoul Dynasty, the Korean team, obviously the strongest team in Overwatch. Seoul took the World Cup championship. What was it, like 3 months ago? Just stomped all the competition. So. Seoul Korea is really just decimating the field right now, but they've been playing together for so long, so they have that the synergy. They know everybody's role. They know how to work with each other's weaknesses. And then you have my team, the LA Glads. They're a really new team. They don't really know each other's weaknesses and strengths. Yeah, so they're all just.
And I remember when the great thing about Overwatch League and guys, the experience in the arena is amazing. It's very intimate for an arena, which means you could yell something and everybody will hear you.
Yeah.
So it's a smaller arena, not necessarily full to the brim, but we did go on a sellout show. So it was a very good crowd. And when you get to literally interact face-to-face, neck-to-neck with the esports teams, which is really nice. Right. Well, you don't really interact with them because they're busy, but they're a rock.
He picked one up
away.
Across his shoulders. That's
Yeah. There was a meet and greet after everything with the Gladiators. So
how
got
did that come up?
So
luckily, did you ask somebody, can I throw you across my shoulders?
Yeah, he did.
Like, like this guy, he's iRemix. He's the main tank for LA Gladiators. He's my favorite pro. And as the meet and greet, just by coincidence, it was just my team that was doing the meet and greet after the show. And I went up to him, I was like, dude, can I get a picture? He's like, yeah, sure, dude. Then we like got together, I was like, dude, can I pick you up? He's like, what? It's like, can I pick you up? He's like, and everybody else like heard that, like, do it. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's like, okay. So I picked him up. It was like really awkward for him. He was like, what?
It was so awkward.
No, but the picture came out good.
I saw his skin go from brown to like mud red. And in a matter of 2 seconds, because when we were there, all the esports players, most of them, a majority, 90%, were just, you know, breaking into their teenage years. Of course, they're the pros.
They're awkward already.
They're all socially, they're weebs, really. Yeah. Yeah. And I love it. And I was excited. That's why it was so hard for me to cheer for any specific team, because I was just so excited to see every single one of them, especially the K-boys. Right. It must be the uterus in me. Every time I looked at a little K-boy, I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. Good for him.
Over all the K-boys.
We need that picture. Is there a way that you could send
it? Yeah, and then I'll post it.
Okay. Yeah. Either way.
I will post a picture on Instagram. So if you want to see some awesome photos that we took from Overwatch League, just drop by Instagram. Our Instagram name is the same as our Twitch name, digital_logic with a K.
So I got a question. Yeah. Above the players, there's this like horseshoe shaped thing, and it seems like it's two colors all the time. Does that change?
That changes colors.
Not just change colors, but is it like showing who has advantage?
Unfortunately, it doesn't. I was thinking there.
It should, right?
Really cool if I had like a progress bar.
Yeah, progress bar. Yeah.
Really cool, but no, it just like it's a solid color and change.
Okay. And also, maybe you know this because you're in the know. It sounds like very generic names, or did the teams actually pick their names? I feel like Blizzard did.
It was a collaboration of the two.
Oh, okay.
The logos, the jerseys, and the team names were a collaboration between Blizzard and the sponsors of the teams.
And your favorite team being LA, is that because of proximity to us?
That's two reasons. A few reasons, but mainly was because of LA. There's two LA teams, LA Glads and LA Valiant.
Yeah.
LA Gladiators.
Valiant. See, I was going to tell you the other one was wrong, but there's two.
Yeah, LA okay. Gladiators, LA Valiant. Yeah. Three California teams, the other one being San Francisco Shock. But the reason I picked Gladiators was because purple. I love the color purple. That's and they are already a pretty strong team. I was like, yeah.
I'll hitch my trailer to this.
So LA gets two teams and San Diego doesn't get one.
Yeah,
what's up with that? If we had a San Diego team, what would they call it?
Dynasty.
We have terrible names.
Stolen.
Because we have a paintball team that's... Like, our most dominant team we've ever had is our paintball team.
Our paintball team?
Yeah. They're like world champions in generations. San Diego Dynasty.
China already has a dynasty name, Shanghai Dynasty.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And the bastards.
The one San Diego player that is a pro in the Overwatch League plays for Dallas.
Mm. Which is the Dallas.
What? Dallas Fuel?
Fuel, yeah. I like that word. Name.
Is he that one that got suspended or wait?
No, that's XQC.
Or who was the one on Dallas Fuel that the derogatory comment
XQC,
was
directed? Yeah.
No, the one that it was directed towards was
That was towards Muma.
Okay. So is he on Dallas or is XQC on Dallas?
XQC is... God, now I think I got confused. No, I think Muma is on Dallas and XQC is...
The other Texas team.
Let's get down to brass tacks. Was it... Obviously, you had a great time. You're an Overwatch player. And you used to be one. Did you have a good time? How many hours were you there? Did you feel...
Yeah. Okay.
Were you having fun the entire time?
Yeah, I had fun virtually the entire time up until I was starting to fall asleep. I myself, since we had to drive 2 hours up there, I was up very early and I'm already on a late schedule as it is. So I was just running on fumes, really. Mm. But I had an amazing time. Like I said, the arena is a lot smaller. It's a lot more intimate. You can get up from your seat and walk away. You control the casters. That was so much fun.
What? Like how?
Like the casters are doing their, and anyone who watches Owl on League, on Twitch, it can knows that the audience is right behind the main casters of Overwatch League. So if you're in the audience, you can make your face known by, you know, waving things around, by getting out of your seat, by making faces. And both Minnie and I, if you drop by our Discord, we actually have links to where we got our little bit of Twitch fame, and we waved to the camera and made ourselves known to a external audience. But outside of that, I love the arena. It's a well-constructed arena. Hands down, the LCD screens were its biggest selling point. When you go there, the screens are so large. I've never seen anything else as spectacular as that through LCD.
I imagine that's what they had at BlizzCon, right?
Yeah,
Bobby?
The place was freezing cold because the LCD has created so much heat that they had to make it. You felt like you were in a movie theater.
Well, I mean, that and you got just, so many people in a room, it's going to bring the heat up.
And then not only that, but so you felt like you were in a really amazing movie theater, but one with, you know, an esports audience.
Now, this was just regular season games, correct?
Yes.
So will you be going back?
I will definitely be.
Chi, would you be going back?
Absolutely. I want to. And I want to bring Bobby.
Yeah, I want to go.
You too. Oh, yeah. I mean, but I know, I think Bobby would love to, would really enjoy an experience.
It does not like seem this. Easy to buy tickets, though. Like, I searched for it, and they have, like, Ticketmaster, Ticketstub, like, a few places where you could. But it doesn't seem like there's a Blizzard website where you can go to and say, I want to see this team. When are they playing? That date? Okay, let me get a ticket.
Yeah. That's,
did you get to choose seats, or did they just seat you wherever?
It's general seating. The whole thing, like, you, if you get a chance, you can sit in the front we were, but if you don't want to, you can sit in like the stadium seating. They
so
got,
like first come, first serve.
Yeah, we were on the
floor. How was the parking? That's such a dad question.
Well, we got there
the
early.
The easiest parking in the world.
We got there at 9, and it starts at 11, so it was way before anybody got there.
Okay.
We were like not even a quarter mile away.
I wish one of you guys had gone to BlizzCon so you could like compare what we did.
Well, I've been to BlizzCon, and this is nothing like BlizzCon because BlizzCon, it's a fully interactive experience where you are constantly on your feet, walking around.
No. I meant like the Overwatch. So there was an Overwatch arena when we went to BlizzCon. So I wanted to compare.
It's probably very similar.
Yeah,
you're right. I don't know, but since I did not get to go to BlizzCon this year, this was kind of a, you know, in lieu of that, it was a really nice, fun experience, and it cost us next to nothing.
Yeah, $30 is nothing.
$30 for the ticket,
2 hour drive,
a quarter tank gas. Yeah. You know,
so $30 for each ticket.
Yeah,
wow, yeah, that's
and
good.
And that's for a Saturday game. $20 on every other day, and if you're there on Saturday, you can buy a Wednesday, Thursday ticket for $10.
And concessions were not crazy at all. I spent $7 on concessions, a Red Bull and a coffee.
Yeah.
So
yeah, reasonably priced everything there.
Not bad.
And awesome. We picked up some swag. I got this
LA show the camera.
Cool.
Yeah.
Signed by all the players.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I also, they had a meet and greet, so it was really cool. Mm-hmm. And the most I spent was a lanyard and a little Diva Bunny keychain, which lights up, which is really cool. And it was so cute because when I brought it up to the boys, they were like, you want me to sign this? It's just so small. Yeah, I'm like, sometimes we just got to deal with small things. I'm sorry.
For those just,
now you know my pain. No,
for those
kidding,
just
no,
on
kidding.
The podcast.
Joking.
Listening. Her doing Asian voices, she's Asian, so she can get away with it.
That wasn't Asian. So, it was a Swedish accent. Big Goose is Swedish. Oh, yeah. So,
all your accents
or some
Asian.
Weird and accent.
I wonder why.
With people on podcast, what she has there is a little...
It was Swedish accent.
Is Diva's bunny blaster trinket she has hanging from her gun.
It's super cute.
Yeah, it's cool.
Regardless, it was a really up close and personal experience. Definitely worth the money because it costs virtually no money at all. But there were some people who came out all the way from Canada, all the way from the UK to watch these teams play.
I'm sure. That's
and,
cool.
And what's his name? Eagle Raptor from Game Grumps. You guys knows who he is. He was out there, and that was really cool to meet him. Hmm. Like, I was peeing next to him. I gave him a little fist bump. It was really cool.
While pissing?
Yeah. So I met him in the bathroom.
Yeah, guys do that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Bobby, do you think they're going to be Heroes of the Storm at that arena at some point?
I would hope so.
I'm sure there will be. It's a Blizzard arena.
Yeah, if not, there are larger tournaments.
I mean, at least, maybe not HGC, but maybe Midseason Brawl. I don't see why. They would save so much money not sending it over to someone else. And they also, like, sometimes when they send it over to, what are the other ones? That one they do out in Dallas, like those other, not production companies, but organizations that handle esports events, sometimes they just fuck them up.
Yeah, they're going to keep everything in-house, not that they have a house to keep it in.
And I think the idea is to have more of these in different parts of the world, too. Like, this is probably just like a test run, and I think it's going great so far.
So far, yeah, everything was great. We were there from, I know you asked this and we didn't answer it. We got there at 9, but the doors don't open until 10. Hmm. And then they close around 6:30, maybe the latest 7.
Yeah.
So we were there for a full stay. A full stay. Is that a full day? And I was.
And you only spent $7?
I only spent $7. Yeah. Well, during everything.
Right.
We had lunch before we had dinner after, but during the event, it was, I only spent $7.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we should talk about Overcooked. We played a little bit of that before the show, and we played it a little after the show last week when we recorded, and we have been doing pretty good, actually.
Yeah, we're making progress. We're we just got to the snow level, which is world three.
3-1.
Yeah, 3-1. Mm-hmm. And we beat it on the first try.
No, Overcooked is so much fun. Yeah. Overcooked.
Oh, yeah. Third try.
You know why I love Overcooked? I didn't do this last time we played, but when we played today, I actually got to yell at you guys and call you names and felt like I was head chef, even though I wasn't at all. We're all kind of running.
That was fun for you.
And we got 3 stars on that win.
So yeah, that you know what? It's like the Tiger Chef in me. I wanted you to do exceedingly well, and sometimes a little fire underneath the pan gets you to that point. So it was a lot of fun.
I think the food was really simple because there was only 2 items. It was just fish or chips, fish and or chips. They were just introducing us to the new mechanic, which is sliding around and falling in the water. So I'm sure the next one's going to be a fucking bitch, but I'm glad. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So the DLC we haven't touched yet, though. You don't have it on your account, but at some point we're going to have to get it. It's called The Last Morsel. The reviews are mixed. What's the deal with that?
I don't know. I haven't heard. We'll have to look into it and then get back to it. Maybe we won't buy it. Mostly negative, it says.
I already own the game, so we're gonna go ahead and play this and then offer our own review.
This is such a great game, but the unfortunate side of it is it's local co-op only, and that's difficult for a lot of people. It's a very rare thing for 4 people to get together in a room with controllers and be able to play a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the main complaint is it's too short. There's nothing really new. It just adds more
levels. The DLC.
Yeah, maybe the DLC was a money grab. I bet it was. They were like, oh my God, we're selling so much more than we thought we were. Let's make something quick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what happened.
Yeah.
And how much is it?
The DLC is $4.99. The game itself is $16.99.
Okay. Oh, so $20 for the whole package? Can you really complain? This game is so unique. And yes, it is only local co-op, but I can't be upset at that because just maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that's the only option we had with local co-op. I think Halo made online gaming outside of PC gaming mainstream. Yeah. So, and Halo wasn't that long ago, maybe 10 years. So if a game goes back to that element where you're forced to be in local co-op,
it's more fun.
It's kind of appealing to that. It's obviously a type of clientele, is that the word? That is their select audience they're aiming for, because this game wouldn't be as fun if you weren't together in one room.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, we're enjoying the shit out of this game because we're here side by side. You're hearing me yell in your left ear, your right ear. Like, that is the appeal to this game, right?
She yells in stereo.
All right. It's something I want to mention. You know, I play a lot of Heroes of the Storm. The Diplo community. Yeah, I know. what is this game?
I tried to segue into it like 10 minutes ago, but we got sidetracked. Anyway.
This gaming community, Diplo, we've talked to him before. Sniper has been on the podcast before. Great bunch of guys there. Gaming community for all sorts of games, but there's different little pockets of crowds. You know, I'm in with the Heroes of the Storm guys, obviously, but they've started doing a in-house league, which is a lot of fun. So we have enough players to where we can do 5-on-5 matches, and we mix up the players. We play each other, and then they do an elo based just off of that. A lot of the pros and like the really good streamers do this on their own. They call it SEL. It's kind of I don't know. Have you guys ever done anything like this? They have software like dedicated to doing something like this.
Like, you're getting the better players separated from the weaker ones? Is that what it is?
Well, the way they're doing is drafting. I don't know if they're going to change that. They have a captain and he picks, you know, you go back and forth picking your team.
Okay.
So you are you first pick all cheerleader? All cute.
I didn't want to say it.
First
I didn't
want to say cutie. I got Bobby.
I'm doing well in the league. I'm not first.
That's awesome.
But it's great. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's they're custom games, so they don't count towards your actual MMR or anything. But they will be. They seem to be happening every Sunday, and then other games too. So tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be doing that. I believe I host the stream of whoever's going to be streaming that. So, you know, check that out if you want to see me play.
I kind of feel like this is going to turn more into Bobby teaches a bunch of people how to play HOTS.
But, you know, learning is good.
Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant when I play with people because I don't want to, like, be bossy and be like, you should be doing this and that. You know, if they're open to learning, that's great. But sometimes people just want to play and have fun. And, you know, that's okay, too.
When I was playing with you, Bobby, I learned a lot. Because I was playing with you for so long. Then when I went solo, like I was playing with you for about a week. Mm-hmm. And then when I went solo, I was just smashing the competition because they didn't know where my MMR was.
Yeah.
So then, like, I just rocketed up to, like, really skilled players really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, if you play, a lot of people who just start playing the game, they'll play with me, and you're going to be playing people who are a lot better than you, and you learn quick. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, and what I tell people a lot of times is, like, you know, we're not here to win, we're here to learn. So, you know, don't get upset about things going wrong.
Spoken like a true teacher.
Yeah.
He really is. He's really, like, calm and, like, he presents the information that's, like, very easy to receive on my end. It's...
And the thing I always try to explain to people too, it's not important. The what is not important. The why is so much more important. Like, if I tell you this is a good pick right here, take this character, doesn't matter unless you know why that's a good character and what you need to do with that character. So, you know, that's what I try to focus on when I'm trying to help people out, is why is this important?
Bobby, the Arizona Storm educator. It's pretty cool, man. Like, I feel like it's not killing the game. There's not millions of downloads adding every week. So you're doing your part to bring in as many new players as possible. I think that's pretty cool because you love it so much. I don't think you'll give a fuck in a year, but, you know, it is what it is.
In a year? I don't know, man. I've been stuck on this game for a while.
MOBAs are really hard to get tired of. For me, I love MOBAs. I can see myself playing them for a perpetual amount of time and the reason why is because there's so much to learn. Once you get to a certain point of expertise and or play style, then you can only expand past that. And, you know, good luck trying to get in pros, because no matter how much you play and how much you learn, there's always a better and higher level you can get better at the game. And that's what I love about MOBAs versus a lot of other games, such as...
It never ends.
There's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
Such as They Are Billions. Can I bring this up?
Sure.
Yeah.
I want to bring this up since we are talking about a certain skill level and or scale of playing a game. I have been playing They Are Billions. I've been streaming it. So if you're interested in checking that out, you could drop by twitch.tv/smoochy. It's SMOOXXCHI.
Can I just...
Yeah, sure.
Forward slash.
Oh, it's a forward slash? My bad. I'm used to copy pasting links, not verbally, like saying them out loud. Anyways, I've been playing They Are Billions and I have been obsessed. The thing and the reason why I love this game so much is because it is absolutely challenging. Oh. And my approach into playing this game, first and foremost, is keeping it at 100%, essentially the level that it's meant to be played at. I learned the hard way, though, as I always do. When you go into, thank you, Cricket, by the way, when you go into They Are Billions, it is very much like any other RTS, but the unique element about They Are Billions is that it has a pause button, it's strictly PvE, and you have this endless zombie horde that comes after your town, trying to take over your colony.
And that pause button does not help as much as you think.
No, it does not. And with this game, though, I got to day 93 out of 100. So I made it to the final wave and got annihilated. And it was a good annihilation because I learned so many different things, such as I need to clear the map before I let it get to day 93. And you learn something new each and every time. Now, myself, though, I'm at that point where it's like, okay, I'm going to play this game because I'm confident in my RTS abilities. But at this point now, seeing that I've played through to the furthest where I could have gotten, I am branching out, guys. I'm sticking in the game shark. I'm going on YouTube. I'm branching out to other Twitch streamers. And I am picking up on some of the best strategies that I can play or inherit from them so I can actually play this game extensively well and or to the point that I want to get to. Because forget 100%, there are people who are playing 500% and with no pause whatsoever. So that shows alone, might I add, this game is only in early access, that shows alone the different layers of competency that this game requires from a player. If you want to play at 3%, 22%, by all means, please play at that. But if you want to try to make it to 500%, well, there are certain processes to get through in order to get there. And for me, I don't think I could do that on my own. I am almost past 100% on my own, but now I'm at that point where it's like, okay, I think based on what I've done and based on what I know I need to do, I can get past 100%. But then, oh my gosh, if I can grow to a 500% player, I would love to do that. And that's the appeal behind this game, because it's the same structure, but it's procedurally generated. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, you get a different experience every single time. And that's endless gameplay. It's PvE, but that's endless gameplay. And that's a single player experience that's rare. That's not really offered right now, is it? No. You don't really get single player elements that will grow to numerous playthroughs.
It kind of has that endless aspect that we were just talking about MOBAs, but now it's a single player.
Because now it's single player.
Okay, I'm not having fun anymore. You just adjust it, and now you're having fun again because it's challenging.
Or you as what I'm doing, I'm learning more about the game. So even though it's still challenging, I know how to kind of get past that step and grow from there.
And I feel like if you watch a 500% player, you're going to learn more than watching a 100% player.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because like whatever he's doing has to be ironclad. If I had one criticism of Yuchi, you weren't pausing enough.
But I think, I'm horrible at pausing.
And it's like, it's there, use it. But you were like, you were playing it like you were playing StarCraft.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's because I'm a tenured RTS player.
Right.
And with They Are Billions, it was bringing in old habits into a new game. It only got me so far. Mm-hmm. And what I've been doing, I'm watching YouTube videos, I'm watching tutorials of people playing at the very highest difficulty so I can get their best strats for even more challenging maps and then kind of pick up on so many different things. I actually had a pad and paper. That's so nerdy. It's like writing down the combos in Street Fighter, like back in the day, right? Yeah. Just keep that little slip of paper. And that's exciting to me, because since when do video games really make you do that anymore?
Yeah.
And it's like, as much as we are PC elitists, how many casual games are we playing?
Yeah.
How hot. but just kidding. I'm kidding, Bobby. I'm kidding. But I'm just really excited. I'm just really excited that there's this game here that presents a challenge, and it doesn't necessarily involve getting into a competitive scene, becoming ranked to get past a certain point. It's exciting to have this game, and I'm glad that I'm playing this game, and I will continue to play this game. It might be my fixed stream game at the moment until I get to a point where I'm happy.
Yeah, and I like playing that a lot too, and that game is super frustrating.
Yeah,
I have found the aggro is real. Bugs that like let me just give you a scenario. I had my city completely walled off, like there's no entrance, and then a zombie appears in the middle of it. That one zombie, because it appeared next to a tent, just destroyed my entire city. Because it takes out one tent, more zombies spawn instead of a tent.
There's digger zombies, dude.
What?
Yeah. They have shovels? You haven't seen them?
No.
I just made that up.
Okay.
No, but it almost appears that way because it almost feels like a defense tower, too, because you're perpetually... Because you're perpetually being... Assaulted. Attacked by waves and waves and waves.
You're trying to think, but then you're being pestered the entire time. And then at the end of the pestered, you're getting, somebody throws a right hook and you have to like...
Yeah, that huge wave. Yeah.
What I thought was funny about watching Chi... Chi is a very good streamer, guys. Like, it's fun to watch her. But towards the end, the closer we got to 100 days, the more viewers there watch. I think people were just going around looking how bad this invasion is. Somebody was helping her that had played before, and I thought it was so funny because she goes, I wonder if the last wave is going to come from the south. He said, yes, it's going to come from the south. And she goes, okay, good. I know that it's going to come from the south, right? And then she didn't read this because she's so into the game. Uh-huh. He said, it's also going to come from the east, north, and west. Like right after.
Yeah, that was funny. And I caught that actually later.
Later.
I caught that later, I'm like, no, it is a very challenging game. And I sympathize for anyone that's watching me struggle. But I feel a lot more confident. And I haven't gone back into the game after picking up these hints and tips from tutorial players. And so I'm excited to go back in because I feel like a brand new, like I've been training for this.
Going on to YouTube for tutorial players, because there is zero tutorial about this game. Like, it tells you absolutely nothing.
Oh, no. Well, they have written tutorials, which is a classic
Really?
Like, you know how there's menu options, okay, etc. Yeah. There is a tutorial option where you have to manually read everything.
Pamphlet.
Yes, pamphlet. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly it. And that's what I like about it, because it's very much a classic way of gaming.
Bobby, what's up? What's up with it? They Are Billions?
Bobby's not playing, are you, at all?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the price tag is a little prohibitive for me right now. $25
Our account.
I don't know if
you can't. This is the one game that doesn't allow you to play off.
Yeah, that's right. We brought this up the first time. I tried to play it off your
account. I told you, I think we spoke about this previously before. I said $24.99 is an amazing price value for the fact that this single player game, the game that I got to day 93 took me 4 hours. 4 hours. And what was your hour per dollar?
Dollar per hour.
Dollar per hour.
Yeah, that's
and this
algorithm.
Has the highest dollar per hour outside of games like Overwatch or PUBG that I've played. You know, I will complain all day. I will shit the bed when it comes to Destiny 2 and how much I am not getting the full extent of what my dollar value is. But They Are Billions, $25. We're not going into that. But They Are Billions, $25. And suddenly I'm like, this is well worth the money because of how invested I am into excelling in this game. And it's not easy. I don't recommend this for anybody that wants their shit pushed in. So
cool. Let's go to the next one.
I wanted to bring up, we didn't talk about AGDQ last week.
No.
That was Awesome Games Done Quick. It happens every January.
How did we forget?
Yeah. The big Games Done Quick event always takes place during July, but then they also have started doing Awesome Games Done Quick in January.
Okay.
And I didn't watch that. These are speed runs, in case you didn't know. People speed run. They make donations, supports things like Doctors Without Borders. And, Cricket, thanks, man, coming
Thank
in.
Thank you so much,
coming
dude.
In with a donation. But we didn't talk about it at all. I didn't watch very much of it this time. The only one I watched was the Skyrim speed run, which usually takes about 40 to 50 minutes. And they fucked up at one point, which really set them back. So it took like 50 minutes. But I've seen the Skyrim speed run before. So I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm getting to the point now where I've watched so many of these. I've seen all the speed runs. You know, sometimes they have a new strat that they do, and like, that's cool. But I wasn't as excited about it this year.
Like seeing a comic at another time, like maybe 10 or 20% of his set is going to be new, but it's just the same old thing, right? They're all sharing the same strats too. Like they're on the boards, they're sharing strats. Yeah. It doesn't even matter who's running. They're going to be using the same strats.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's still fun to hang out and watch and just be part of the experience.
Oh, why was there a controversy, Bobby? Something about like having to subscribe in order to comment, I believe.
That's a new thing on Twitch, relatively new. I know it's always really existed, but there are certain different levels of commands where unless you've been a follower and for at least 10 minutes, you can't comment in chat. Or unless you're subscribed, you can't comment in chat. Mm. So it's almost like a filter. It's almost a commitment filter, really. Like how committed can you be to this streamer in order to be able to chat?
No, and I think it goes even beyond that. The way that I understood it. Now this is a fart in the wind in my memory. But the way that I saw was like you have to like monetarily subscribe.
Yeah, $5.
Yep.
To and be able to chat in Twitch chat, not like a message chat. Pop up on the screen.
See, just in order to talk at all, ever. You got to be. But I'm for it because one, it's for charity. And two, that shit's vomit anyway. There's so many fucking people talking.
Yeah.
Who cares what the fuck it's being said?
No, like, I agree.
That's true.
So let's cut out the bullshit. Let's get more food in starving people's mouth, and I think it's good all the way around. If you're complaining about this, pay $5. If you can't pay $5, go.
It's funny how we perceive things. I mean, this is something that was taken from the perspective of a viewer, something that was taken away and now is behind a paywall. So $5 is nothing, but you know, it does seem like a violation to some people, I suppose.
It separates wheat from the chaff too, dude. Like, I don't want to say Russians, but I'm going to say Russians. They just show anything that's free. They just show up by the millions and they fuck everything up. And I like Mexicans.
Oh, really?
Go off,
no, not at all.
He's saying AGDQ needs a badass Viking what he's talking about is a game called Volgar the Viking, a pretty old game. Mm-hmm. Maybe 4
Oh, I remember
old.
That.
Has anybody played that?
Oh, yeah.
Really difficult game, kind of like in the vein of Ghouls and Ghosts.
Ghouls and Goblins, okay. Yeah.
Okay. 2D side-scroller?
Yeah, 2D side-scroller, but extremely difficult. Most people don't get past the first level. And Lunatic's here. He's actually the world champion speedrunner in this game. He is the fastest in the world at this
time. Oh, that's awesome. Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. And he's in our Twitch chat right now he's without having to pay $5 extra.
We got a goddamn celebrity down here.
That he's a Twitch celebrity. Yeah, so welcome, Lunatics.
And what we're trying to do here is we want to get that game into a GDQ because I want him. I was telling him I want him into a GDQ. Because
there's probably a price threshold in which if you wanted to promote a certain game title into a game.
I think it's like a nomination type thing. So we can nominate it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the process is.
Get us a link and then
nominate with a fat stack of money.
I know a couple PC gamers.
Isn't that how our president was nominated?
Maybe one or two.
So if you guys have played this game or you're interested in seeing it, Lunatics, you can find him on twitch.tv/Lunatics, LUNATIX. He also has his Lunaticsvania YouTube channel, Lunaticsvania TV. Spelled like Castlevania, Lunaticsvania, TV. You check him out there. He's just amazing. Like, I play that game. I know what I'm doing in that game. Yeah. I'm pretty good at it. Yeah. Better than most. Takes me 6 hours. He can beat it in 15 minutes.
Wow.
No glitching. Just straight running through it. No glitching.
Damn.
It's amazing.
Hmm. In a way, too, and when it comes to playing games so fast, it's because you've played it through the first time and over and over and over and over again with... these games done quick. Most of the time I don't watch them because a lot of the games that I've played, they're playing, but a lot of them I haven't actually beat. I feel like I would only want to watch these games if I've already beaten the games before. In fact, and very true, somebody was doing a quick run on Resident Evil.
Show title right there.
Resident Evil 7. And I was like, oh, yes. Oh, my God. I love this game. I got to watch this. And then I realized, wait a second. What is that? Oh, no. I haven't been here before. I have. Spoilers. X. Yeah. So, and that's the unfortunate part, because unless you see yourself never playing the game and want to see a quick run of the game, or if you've already beaten it through before and you just want to see how quickly someone can get through the game. But for me, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate, if you're still working on a particular title and you don't want the ending spoiled, don't watch this. But donate anyways.
Yeah.
Is there like a favorite game you guys like to watch at the GDQs? Because mine is Super Metroid, because they always have that four-man
run. Yeah, they do the four-man run.
Any Final Fantasy game. Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, the like Super Metroid one's always entertaining. Deus Ex, I really like that one, the original one. Okay. And, of course, Jedi Knight 2, if they're doing got to watch. I don't know if they've ever really done Doom. Like, I've seen them on YouTube. The original. Oh. Well, they did the new one at the last GDQ, which was cool.
That's the kind of like Quake Hunt thing. I think they do that. I've seen those.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, they're very popular, but I don't know if they do Doom or Doom 2.
A lot of rocket jumping, right? In those?
Wall hacks and stuff. Yeah, I think you can do Doom 2 in like less than 20 minutes.
And as Zap was saying, they didn't do Super Metroid this year. And I thought I just missed it, but I guess they just didn't do it at all. So that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, they didn't do Super Metroid at AGDQ, but I'm sure they'll do it at GDQ. And GDQ actually takes place in Minnesota. I think they always do it out there.
Okay. Oh, Minnesota. I did not know that. Minnesota. I thought in Minnesota everything was boring and you don't just do anything at all. So that's why you got to do things like no, that's not the right accent, but you got to move all the way out to California. It's not true at all though. Apparently I left Minnesota too soon. But it's okay cuz I'm in Cali now and Cali spoils its gamers. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today.
This is the last time you're going to be talking about Battlefront 2 from me. Deleted it today.
Oh, yeah, sure. This is his last time talking about... Just kidding.
Until the expansion.
I made sure I got my $60 worth. After I did all the single player, I went back to the multiplayer, and I just dug in deep, and I'm like, I'm going to try to have fun. And I played it for probably three or four more hours on multiplayer. I'd just rather be playing something else. It's fucking beautiful, but that's pretty much all it has going for it. So no more Battlefront 2. I could recommend it for maybe like $20 if it ever goes down that low. But that's about it. They just
I think we can expect to see it on Origin Access at some point.
I thought it was really interesting that I saw Double Action Boogaloo at the front page of Steam, because it's a super. I don't know if it's really old or it just came out or what it is, but I've played this almost exact game. It's a what?
Continue.
Okay, it's a. It's almost an exact copy of
Max Payne.
No, it's a Steam mod. I mean, it's a Half-Life 2 mod.
That's awesome.
But I've played this shit before. Either they added a name to this mod, or I've definitely played this and probably like so long ago. Anyway, so it has bullet time. It's PvP, just action, death squad, death match. And you can do, so as you kill people, you get seconds for your bullet time.
Okay.
So it's kind of like their own version of, like a, what happens in Call of Duty when you, kill streaks.
Okay.
That's how you get paid off. So you'll kill a bunch of people and then you'll have 5 seconds and you can just freeze time and basically just go crazy on people. And it's just running around killing people. But it's a Half-Life 2 mod. Don't expect much, but it's free. And the main reason I downloaded it was the name. Double Action Boogaloo? Like, what the fuck? That's so awesome. It's the best name ever.
Can I request a favor of you,
sure.
Emilio? And this is for the audience. Can we get a double action dab? Do you know how to dab?
No, what's a dab?
Let's dab. It's like this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay, we gotta do it simultaneously. Three, okay. Two, dab. Did you get it?
Yeah, we got it.
Did you really?
Totally.
You didn't get it. Come on.
No, you got it.
We're doing this for the clips. Let's. Did you? Okay. No. 1, 2. It's like a Super Saiyan. Yes. Did you do it? Did he do it? I didn't even see. My head was too busy dabbing. And then Bobby is like, I don't even know what's going on.
Was old,
cannot
dude.
Compute. I don't even know.
It is fun to
know.
Play, though. You could just jump in. It's free to play.
Free to play.
Oh, yeah. Cool. You'll get it in. You'll download it in a second. It's just some mindless fun to have for a little bit.
So this game, is this standalone or is this the mod? This Double Action Boogaloo?
This is the mod.
Okay. So you need Source?
No, you don't have to download it. I guess it is standalone.
Okay.
But I mean, it's
built off the Source engine.
Yeah. Okay. It's
to the person that doesn't have anything Half-Life 1, Half-Life 2, anything Source Engine related on their Steam account, fuck you. And then we're moving on.
All right.
I played Firewatch, finally.
You played it all the way through?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like a 3-4 hour game. So
did
yeah.
you cry?
No, it's not that moving of a tale. Yeah, I thought it was all right. Like, I wasn't blown away by it. It really was a lot like Gone Home. You know, it's something that looks like it could possibly be more creepy than it actually is, and then at the end it just turns out to be something rather mundane. No spoilers, obviously.
No, that was spoilers. Like, now they know not that the worst
don't get. Well, I mean, if you play Gone Home, then that spoils this game, too, I think. Like, I'm not talking about the actual events. I'm talking about the the expectations here. But you know, I really wanted to play this game because it was made by a couple people that do a podcast called Idle Thumbs, and I listened to them for a long time until they kind of got off gaming and just started doing their podcast on other things just in general. I really enjoyed that podcast. Chris Remo, Sean Vanneman, who was like the lead on the Walking Dead game, you know, back in 2012. So you know, high expectations for this game, and they did a really good job. Like, this game brings so much stuff together. Like, you could tell some research was put in. You play a guy who works at a national park. He's supposed to look out and make sure that it doesn't catch fire and just, you know, kind of survey the land. Yeah, hence the name Firewatch. But then strange things start to happen, and you explore that journey along with someone who's stationed at another lookout. So, I mean, it was a good game. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't blown away. In some ways, it almost reminded me of Oxenfree, but I liked Oxenfree better. And I can't really explain exactly why.
Hmm. Now, Miller, you said you played To the Moon, right?
Yeah, cried like a bitch.
I did, too.
Yeah.
I didn't want to feel alone, but yeah, there were some points of that game.
And somehow, I think, God damn it, I hate to say it, but I think Bobby's fucking right. I'm not that excited for the sequel.
Oh, is there a sequel?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And they're going to 16-bit graphics for 8. Yeah, I don't know, man. Every sequel, I think you might be right. XCOM 2, I still just in there and fucking the 110 gigabytes that are dedicated on my hard drive to Shadow of War is just sitting there. It's just, I don't know.
You know, the one thing I do want to say about this game, it's the little things. The things that you don't notice that I think make some games really good. The soundtrack, just the research put into the location, like stuff like that. The average gamer probably doesn't even pay attention. They just breeze right past it. But like little things like that make for a really good experience. And I wish more games put that attention to detail in it. Well, I feel like more of them are actually. I feel like it's more of a trend in games these days.
Production value is super high.
I feel like if I were to develop a 2018 games to play and beat, I would put this game on my list. But that list doesn't exist, guys. That list died in 2017.
Thank God.
So, it seems like such an amazing game. And it obviously not a tearjerker, but like you said.
It's good. And I think it speaks to an older crowd, too. You know, it's not something that a kid would
You're not that
enjoy.
Much older than me, Bobby. Let's...
Yeah, no, not... Yeah. Not, but I'm talking about, like, 20-year-old teenagers. They aren't going to get this.
Yeah,
they aren't. Not at all. Like, the main character in this story is, like, 40-something, and he's definitely dealing with, like, 40-year-old man problems.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just... It's not.
I don't think that's ever something that I will ever experience. 40-year-old man problems.
You know, we'll see.
Goopy balls. I mean, I'm sure you'll get that someday.
Well, I mean, on the outside, but not like internally. I can't relate.
Yeah, but I never felt in this game like it was dragging on. I never felt like I got stuck at some random puzzle. I didn't feel like I got lost. Like it moved smoothly, and in these games that's really important, just to keep the flow.
Yeah, it's like playing a movie
playing through a movie. Yeah, an interactive movie. And so yeah, I'd recommend it. It's $20. I don't know if
did you pay it off my account or what happened?
Hey, dollar.
I got this on playtime
per
sale.
Hour per dollar. That's what you called it, right?
Probably. I mean, games are way underpriced as it is anyway. We're all paying like way too little for it, so I don't like to say.
I honestly think you should. I honestly, you like RTSs, right, Bobby?
But those hours are so precious.
Yeah, kind of.
Right?
Yeah. Bobby, what?
So
quantity,
this
right?
doesn't come anywhere near our dollar per hour, but it's totally worth the $20, right?
Because well, you know, Gone Home was $20 when it came out, too, and we said the exact same thing. Yeah. You know, eventually it was on sale for like $5. If this game's on sale, absolutely grab it. But, you know right away if you're going to like this game or not. I mean, some people don't enjoy these games.
Gone Home was a $4.99 game for me. I'm sorry.
This game is you're reading a storybook. That's all it is. It's very pretty.
But it's very different.
I like it very much.
It's very different. Firewatch is obviously very different from Gone Home because Gone Home felt like I was just reading a teen angst diary. Mm-hmm. And
this is more adult theme.
And this is more adult theme, which is more up my alley because I can't relate to lesbianism at all. But let's move on.
We had to just fucking jab the fucking homos in.
I don't know.
It's so much work.
I know. We're just kidding. I can't relate to 40-year-old manism. Or lesbianism, but these are well worth playthroughs.
And on that note, coming out on top, I played some more. I'm still trying to suck my first dick. This is a gay simulator, what is it, graphic novel? What is it called?
Visual novel.
But they're being like, I'm clicking on anything that's the most sexual answer. And like they're like, hey, hold your horses there, bro. So I'm like, I thought the best thing about being gay is like getting laid super fast anytime you want.
Yeah, it's just very
but
open
apparently
about
no.
You got a romance
in this small town that I'm in. Apparently, they like to be romanced. So
so they're conservative gay.
Yeah. Okay. So my total score for Emilio's scoreboard for this game is still zero. I'm counting each dick as 1 point. I'm still at 0 points. And I'll get back to it. It turned out that the guy that hit on me that I thought I was going to bang turned out to be my professor, and he wants to be professional about the whole thing. So,
well, good for him.
You just need to find a bum and blow him.
I am all about. Yeah, I don't. I don't care for fraternizing. I do not.
In video games or in real life?
In both.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
When you were playing Mass Effect, you were all trying to get, like, you're trying to bet everybody, weren't you?
No, only Garrus.
Okay, well, I mean, that's fraternization.
Garrus is hot.
Yeah, but it's like
a lizard guy?
Like, yeah. Yes.
Kind of lizard dragon type thing. Did that work out for you in the end?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
He gave it to me, long dick style, so, that Garrus. Oh, that's a YouTube meme, by the way, what I just said. It's actually in reference to something else.
All right, so that's one, Fortnite Battle Royale. I finally got my hands on it. It's just not like, I don't know why we haven't played it. It's 40 million players. It's free. So it's not like, you put that up against PUBG's 30 million, but that was $20 a copy as opposed to their 40 million of free, which means... all our friendly Russians and Brazilians and everybody.
Really going after the Russians.
And,
really,
yeah. And before you say much more, can I mention that you misspelt Fortnite by actually spelling it out correctly?
Mm. Is it not spelt?
Or misspelled. I'm sorry. Spelled.
N-I-T-E?
Somebody needs to correct me.
Gotcha.
Yes, Fortnite misspelled purposely N-I-T-E.
So you're playing this at first, and I was really impressed right off the bat by... I've had this problem with these games since DayZ, where you feel it's sluggish.
Yeah.
Just going left to right on your mouse, it's always sluggish. And then you get into PUBG, same thing. Way better. Tons better. But it's not sharp. It's not like playing a single player game. This feels like you're playing a single, like you're going, I mean, it is so sharp. Anywhere you go, it's right there with you. And it's playing really well. So this is a PUBG clone. It's actually getting sued by Bluehole, which is the PUBG. We covered this because they provided the Epic provided the engine, and then they turned out coming out with a game that's so similar, and it's just kind of like there's a conflict of interest. So I hope they get some money out of this. Anyway. Tons of people are playing this.
A lot of people. In fact, one thing I've noticed on Twitch is that Fortnite has succeeded PUBG's Twitch viewers. It, in fact, has at least 20,000, if not more, viewers on Fortnite.
I think being free to play has a lot to do with it. Yeah. Now, they
and
do make money
for
cosmetics.
I understand that it is also a lot less challenging than PUBG.
Fortnite is definitely a more fun experience than PUBG, I think. But it doesn't have like that whole like competitive nature.
When you say fun, when I think of fun, I think competitive nature. Okay. And then when it comes to Fortnite,
it's so subjective.
Yeah,
but, it really is. I'll have to play it myself.
It's got a lighter tone to it.
It definitely has a lighter tone. Doesn't seem as serious.
More cartoony.
And you can get back into a game in half the time you do in PUBG, so you can just like try things out. So I was having fun. Definitely, I was having fun, and I was really impressed. Like I said, the responsiveness is on a different level. I've never played a Battle Royale that had this sort of responsiveness. It plays like a single-player game. That's how, whether or not that's real, or they're just making up the net code with whatever.
Mm-hmm. Would you ditch this for PUBG?
No. I'm just trying things out because I have a PC gaming podcast, Bobby. So I like to try out different things.
saying as a game, a lot to do with it, I think, is what your friends are playing. Like if people all jump on Discord, they're like, yeah, we're playing PUBG. Who wants in? Then you're going to join with them. So I think there's a lot of peer pressure. But do you think if a lot of people tried this, then they would prefer it over PUBG?
No. Well, it comes down to, it's objective. Subjective, sorry. Like what your personality is, what you prefer to play. I can kind of see more people enjoying this, but I think it's the free-to-play that's really getting those numbers up.
And you know what? Lunatics makes a good point here. Whatever you play first tends to bias you towards what you play next. If you played PUBG first, like a lot of people have, you've built up that devotion to it, and then Fortnite comes around, and especially after the articles where Bluehole is saying that, hey, you kind of took some of our ideas without asking.
On this one, I kind of disagree because I feel for the most part, people are either tactically minded or arcadely minded. You know what I mean? Like they rather, some people love the simulation games and some people love the arcade doing backflips in your car game. So, and that's just what you gravitate towards too. Maybe there might be something for what you're accustomed to, but anyway, so I'm thinking, well, this is exactly PUBG, right? Like, it's way more, aloof and just kind of, fun and
zany.
Colors are great. Graphics are great. It's very, not very TF2, but has a lot of TF2 cel-shaded cartoon graphics. Yeah. And
it doesn't look very precision based, I feel like. Now, that's what you mean when you mean arcadey. Is that what you mean? Do you mean something that is arcadey versus tactical? What did you mean when you say that?
So PUBG is realism, right? They're going for realism with a tad, like, they're not going 100% realism, but they're at like 80%. This is down at like 20% realism. Yeah. It's just like, whatever the fuck. You can jump, deploy and your parachute.
And build walls on the fly.
So that's what I want.
And I saw things zapping. Like, I think I saw a gun that was zapping, not shooting. Is that?
I haven't seen that.
Really?
What I do like, there's a few things that I do like here. So guns are dropped like loot crates. You open something up or whatever, and guns pop out. And right away, you know which one's better because... It's the same thing. It's the old Blizzard thing.
White, gray, yellow,
white, green, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Yeah, yeah, blue, purple.
Common, gold. Uncommon,
yeah,
rare.
Exactly. So if you find epic, a gold legendary pistol, it's way better than like a green or a blue hatchet or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, you don't need to study
it. I like it. Yeah, you don't need to study. There's no like this ammo. Well, there is some ammo. There's big ammo and little ammo. That's all there is. It's not specific like PUBG is. It's just Battle Royale Lite. That's what it is. And I thought that's exactly what it is until there's a couple things that are different here. The guy that kills you, you can watch his progress the entire game. You can just stream, like, you're watching his stream, basically. And if he gets killed, it jumps to the next person.
Okay.
So you'll be like, you can be killed and be like...
Watch the food chain.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
If the guy who killed you wins the thing, you don't feel so bad, right? Yeah. Or if he gets taken out like a bitch, then you're like, I'm a bitch too. I'm a smaller bitch.
Yeah.
But here's where everything changed. So there's a building mechanic, like she said. Pretty much any wall you can knock down with your pitchfork or, pickaxe.
And then any mountain you can scale by building your own stairs. I thought that was very awkward.
Yeah. And stairs is like the most common thing that you build. So if you just build some stairs right away, right in front of you, if you think about it, it's the perfect like defense. If you got somebody right in front of you and you build 8 feet of stairs, you now have the left, right, and you climb the stairs and peek over, and he can't shoot through the stairs. He can eventually. He can break them down. But it's like you can just throw it up. But I was like, this is stupid. Building mechanic, I'm not even going to use it. Until I watched the guy who killed me all the way through. And the last four people, this is where I decided I'm not going to play this game anymore. The last four.
Wait. Was this your first game?
No. This is like my 15th game or something.
Okay.
I watched all the way through. And at the last three people, it becomes a game of Roblox. So you take all the materials that you've gathered from all the people you killed or farmed. And you just make a fort as quickly as possible. And what ends up happening is you have four towers. This is the game that I saw. And they all built very identical towers. And now they're shooting rockets at each other and trying to knock each other's towers down. And I'm like, what game? This is not Battle Royale anymore. Now it's Roblox. And like, it might have its own thing, its own appeal, but it's definitely not for me. And I can see a lot of people gravitating towards it. It's free. Just go download it and play. You get the Epic launcher, which is a nice launcher, and you can play it. Unfortunately, Epic is making so much money off this game that they've already said that they're going to stop.
My question is,
might stop developing their other games.
Yeah, they've.
My question is, how much does it take to win on skill, on strategy, or is it just?
It's a different type of skill. It's not aiming skill. It's more strategy skill.
I've never played a Battle Royale. Like, I played a little bit of PUBG, maybe a couple hours.
Does it?
Like, yeah.
Why are you here? Just walk out that door. Not just walking. I'm kidding.
Anyway, no, I have very little hours in that. And then, like, the first night I was playing Fortnite, I got a chicken dinner. Like, within five games. Hmm. So it's like...
son of a bitch.
Do they call it chicken dinners? They got to have another name for it.
No, of course they don't call it chicken dinners. No, if they called it chicken dinners, they would definitely have an authentic lawsuit.
Or something,
turkey dinners, meatloaf dinners,
like, Royale something.
What's like a very cartoony dinner? What is the symptoms? Oh, is it TV dinners? TV dinners.
Royale with cheese because it's like continue on with the food, the food theme. But I think it's just like Royale winner or something. But I
feel like it's that trophy you get if it was like competitive Minecraft. Because in Minecraft, there's really no competition. The only competition is like there's no competition. It's like a simulation free roaming game. And you know, you keep up the creepers, you know, job well done, every woman's life. Anyways, outside of that, I feel like it's almost like Minecraft competitively. With all the building and the shooting, and it's giving you, do you get a reward? Do you get loot?
I played like,
do you get extra points?
In months,
so yeah, they have a point system. And you get a lot if you win, obviously, okay. But I think even just playing and dying at a certain point, you build up, I don't know what they call it, but maybe gold or something, and then you can use that on cosmetics, and they've got no end of cosmetics.
And they really do have really nice cosmetics. PUBG has virtually no cosmetics, even though they have been...
Yeah. Well, every player pretty much has the same
PUBG, aren't they going to come out with like a full extent cosmetic option to the game where you could really change up all the little details of your character? I believe that was an option for the game that they were intending to put out maybe down the road.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. It's like crazy. Simulation meets Battle Royale.
Amelia, when you said that they were not developing their other games, were you talking about other Epic games, or were you talking about...
Yeah, like Paragon has seen a big drop in development. There has not been much been going on with Paragon, which is an awesome MOBA if you're into the whole like Smite.
Fastidia is saying that the Smite numbers are jumping because the people are
coming over from Paragon. Well, I mean, Hi-Rez ditched, what was that, Global Agenda, once they hit it big with Smite. Like, once you find your winner, like, you put all your efforts into that. What's interesting to me...
I agree with that logic. I really do. I agree with that logic. Yeah.
But it's really interesting to me, the development of this game, just its history, because when it came out, it was pitched as, this is like years ago too, before we even really knew about Battle Royale. I mean, maybe we had those military sims like Arma and stuff, but... Fortnite originally was this idea that you build forts, and it was like wave survival and fort building and a co-op experience. And then Battle Royale hits it big with PUBG and other games. And then they kind of shifted towards that and like, hey, we're going to have this mode as well. Now that mode has become even bigger than the original idea. And I don't know if they're just going to ditch that original idea altogether and just put all their efforts into Fortnite, the Battle Royale game.
I think they have to because of the flood of money and the flood of interest. You kind of have to. But then with all that money, they should be able to like buy a whole other team to do whatever they need to do, you know? But I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about the single player portion of Fortnite.
Yeah. I just don't think it'd be successful at this point. I don't think it's worth their time.
You mean the co-op wave defense? Yeah. That's what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about it.
But Bobby's on the
That sounds
that
really fun because that was, to me, it was a substitute for what Left 4 Dead was, the whole four-player co-op, working together as a team, kind of.
We were all looking forward to it.
Yeah, honestly. And then now they're like, oh, we know, fuck that idea, because look at what PUBG is doing. Let's fucking do that. No,
I mean, I find it interesting, not just in this specific case, but just gaming in general. That's how it works these days, because you don't know what the trend is going to be. You start developing a game, and it could be years before you have something that actually works to, not even like near release, but just something that works for like an alpha or a beta. And then by the time that gets around, you don't even know what the trends are. What are people playing? Are those games not even going to work?
Yeah.
So it's like the process for developing a game is just so long that you have to be flexible. So yeah, you can't blame them for that. I mean, obviously they're going to do what makes them money.
Yeah. Cool. That's it for highlights. Yeah.
Yeah. We got a good amount of news here. Let's breeze through these kind of quick because we have quite a few listener questions we want to get to. First up, NVIDIA is asking sellers to stop selling to miners, crypto currency miners.
Oh, I thought you meant 16-year-olds.
Yeah. No.
I'm like, where are all these
miners?
So this is something that I think we've all known for a while. We brought it up before how, you know, NVIDIA doesn't want miners to buy up all their cards. It's not good for them. It's not good for business.
Why is it not good for them?
It's good for the retailers. I mean, when you see an NVIDIA card that's selling for twice the price, NVIDIA's not making that money.
Right.
The retailer's making that money.
Second, but they're being sold out, which means they need to produce more, which means they're selling more. So it is good for them.
No, because then when the miners are done with it, they sell them on eBay, and then NVIDIA is competing with their own cards in the market. Not only that, but you're not buying a gamer. You're not, because they have lots of buy-in. Like if you're an NVIDIA gamer customer, like they have all these promotions that go along with other games and stuff. Like that's a whole nother thing that they're trying to get you into. I mean, there's reasons to the why it's a fact. NVIDIA doesn't want to sell all their cards to miners. So.
I think it's more of like this is kind of like I wouldn't say a ploy, but they're going towards they're a gaming centric company.
Absolutely.
So they want to send they want to keep their gamers happy, and this keeps his this.
But there's still a company. If this was fiscally,
they're making way more money, dude. Trust me. But you don't want to sell your product off the shelves. That's a bad thing.
There's not making any extra money for this. They sell,
of
they give
course
it,
they are, because they have no stock, because they have to sell every single
thing. Then why are there news articles that say NVIDIA is asking them to stop selling
the miners? I agree with Bobby on this end, because...
Why is NVIDIA selling cards off their site?
I agree with Bobby on this one. I agree with Bobby on this one, because I'm the GameStop girl. How does GameStop make their money? GameStop doesn't make their money selling new games. GameStop makes their money selling pre-owned games, because all the profits from pre-owned sales goes back to GameStop. Zero to the developer. Right. Zero to anyone who manufactured the game. GameStop monopolizes off of that income, versus whereas if we sold the game new, that means more of that money is distributed back to the developer. NVIDIA's, so that's exactly what's happening. It's the GameStop effect. It's the pawn shop effect with NVIDIA right now.
NVIDIA and AMD stocks are through the roof right now. And that's because they're making shit tons of money because they can't keep the stocks.
Okay, if they're making so much money, why are they telling people to stop selling to miners?
Because they're appealing to their base.
Then why are they selling cards on their website, limit two per customer?
For the long run. For the long run. They want to keep us thinking that, you know, happy that they're a gaming... It's just a publicity. I don't know if it's a stunt. They could really be...
Chat, help me out here, chat. What do you guys think? Yes, NVIDIA only makes MSRP. MSRP.
Got so, you. I totally understand that.
So even but if they sell more they of their units.
If they're selling faster than they can make, how is that ever bad for any company ever?
That business is a lot more complicated than just selling something off a shelf, dude. It is a lot more complicated than that.
More difficult down the road, though, right? Like once they have like a flood of like 10,
AMD went through this shit like years ago with their R570s or something, and it fucked them because then when they were done mining, they just threw them all back on eBay, and then NVIDIA couldn't sell a damn card. Not only that, everybody's using NVIDIA because only miners are buying AMD cards. So now NVIDIA has the gaming market cornered. Like you ask almost anybody, what card are you using? NVIDIA. Like all gamers are using that.
Zap has a really good actually to counter my opinion. Zap has a good point here. They can't ever meet the demand. Like it's really hard to get a 1080 when you want one, right? Especially the Ford to win. That's the one that's out. That's the one that I have. But I guess so. If you can't already meet your demand, then increasing that demand doesn't really make you any more money. And in that case, I guess I can see my point.
Well, it sucks for us as gamers too, right now. I mean, not only with graphics cards, but with memory. I've been, I've had this build on a wish list in Amazon, and every time I check it, the memory is just always ridiculously overpriced. I mean, you're paying for 16 gigs DDR4, you're paying over $200.
That's ridiculous.
I almost put it in the news, but apparently something's happening in memory that's going to have huge price drops this year.
I hope so.
We'll see. I'm not sure.
Yeah, memory used to be really cheap. You could get like 8 gigs for $50.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Dr. Disrespect returns to Twitch in February.
This is the first guy that I ever watched. Yeah. This is like my first Twitch streamer that I'd watch. I never watched him live. I'd always watch his VODs. But still, there's got to be something to it if like a guy who never did. Maybe it was a combination of the game and plus his personality and all that. But he cheated on his wife, and he, in order to keep his family together, he took off. That video is like, I caught the feels a little bit. Like he couldn't even look in the camera from all I do for a living is look in the camera to I can't look in the camera while I'm telling you guys I'm going to take some time off to piece my family back together. It was like some real shit, man. And the other Twitch streamers that stream PUBG, they were talking about like how this guy is immune to criticism because you're not making fun of whatever his real name is. You're making fun of Dr. Disrespect, which is just character. Right. So he's immune to all the internet, basically, because you've just been confronted that. But this is his real self. But I think people are going to gravitate because he's so real. Even through his fakeness, he's so real.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Well, he's a very charismatic character that he has.
I think he's going to be as popular as ever. So, anyway,
and I agree with that, too.
Because I didn't really watch him, but I plan to.
And outside of, the name Dr. Disrespect, you do have to respect that he switched his priorities. He focused on his main priority, which is his love life, which is his family. And streaming comes second to that. And you have to applaud that because there are so many, and if you haven't read them yet, there are so many articles out there where streamers are complaining about the strain of what streaming is, how exhausting it is, how it's actually affecting their emotional states and well-beings. And this is just an adult here who recognizes what he's got both in family and in success through his streaming element, and then he's working on playing that balance, and it looks like he's achieving that. And isn't that what endgame adulting is? It's just creating a balance, figuring out what's actually really important to you and sure, investing yourself in what is really important to you. And it's true and obvious that streaming to him is very important, but more so important is his family. So he did what he needed to do, put his family back back into wherever it is. Who knows the dirty deets behind the curtains? Right. But and his viewers have to respect that. Outside of him streaming, he is a real human. It's that whole celebrity appeal, facade, where people forget to look at celebrities as human beings. And I hope his popularity does grow from this, because it just from this actual, from his fuck up, it just shows how human he really is, just like
it shows
all of
his
us.
Vulnerability.
Vulnerability. Excellent.
And him being
absolutely
able to come back from that, it shows even more like, anyway. Look, somebody famous got laid outside of his marriage. It's in his tail as all the time.
Yeah.
And he's coming back. I think the exact date is February 5th.
Yeah.
So if anybody's interested in seeing that, yeah, February 5th is going to be his re-debut.
I know who he is, but I don't watch him.
Every time he gets an award, the first thing he does is gives a shout out to his wife. And I was like, and that's the part that I was like, ooh, that makes it, whatever. If I was that famous, I'd be cheating all the time anyway, so.
Holy Emilio.
All right, next up, PUBG to ban 1,000 cheaters.
I feel like this is every
month. Dr. Disrespect first on that list?
How do they still have players?
That was 100,000.
This is like up there with those other news bits that we have. 100,000. Okay, yeah, that's a lot. But this is up there with those news pieces that seem to come up every single week.
Shit!
Okay.
I don't care if you're okay. That was hilarious. Chi hit a shelf
with her face.
She almost did a backflip. She hit it so hard.
That's not the first time she's hit that shelf either. That shelf is constantly a problem for her.
It's a nice chi shelf. I like height.
Yeah, chi-sized shelf.
Yeah.
That's a word right there. Chi-shy shelf. Chi-shy.
Chi-shy. All right, Bobby.
What were we even talking about? Oh, PUBG. Yeah, this is up there with just the news that we seem to hear every week. Yeah. Destiny 2 fucks up. They apologize to fans. PUBG bans a bunch of people. And an Overwatch player gets in trouble for saying something on his stream.
Yeah. I think Jens actually posted. So I was talking about Jens, like, is posting chicken dinners all day, every day. He posted a video because this is what the kill cam is so good at. He's like, I got killed by a cheater. And so he put on the video, and it's so obvious. Like, this guy's tracking people through buildings and then shooting at the right time. I don't even think he's clicking for that shot, actually. And then it's not just that he killed Jens, but he killed another guy right before the exact same way, just tracking them through a building miles away. It's just, like, so obvious. And PUBG came out and said that their new camera tracking system and this whole thing is helping them so much. Their death cam is helping them so, because people are reporting people. Now, I hope people like Chad, who report everybody he doesn't like, don't fuck this up. Like, don't fuck up the system.
Well, I'm sure it's under review, and they have some sort of algorithm that checks it. In the article, they explain a little bit of how this came about, but 100,000. So I know that's a lot of people, but also a lot of people play PUBG. So for you PUBG players, like, how often is it that you get into a game and you encounter a cheater? Like, is it almost every game? Never?
Never.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's happened...
It's probably on those Russian servers, am I right?
No, it's actually China. So PUBG came out and said that 90% of cheaters come out of China.
Really?
90%.
So
I think a lot of the Asian servers have a lot of that going on. So, the headline was 90% of cheats come out of China. Okay. So maybe they're being developed there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it goes...
Well, I know, like, even in Korea... cheats and mods, stuff like that. It's like a market. It's like a whole market out there. Even with like League of Legends, like people make a ton of money just creating and selling these.
At least you have, you know, remember Battle Royale Trainer? Mm-hmm. At least it's a legit business trying to make money.
Yeah.
Off, you know, like at least they put in work and like are trying to do something. And mooch off of the community, but they're not doing it in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're being constructive.
Right.
Zap says there's actually PC bonds in Korea that have cheats installed on their computers when you play.
So is that like a cafe? PC bong?
Yeah, PC bong.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Korea, it's a lot more. But we don't have LAN. What do they call them out here? Like, we never see them anywhere. LAN centers. In Korea, it's huge. Like, that's... what a lot of the younger generation do. They go to these places and they can get food there and they can sleep in the chairs and they pretty much live at those places.
Or die at those places. Once upon a time, there was a Korean WoW player that literally died in his chair.
We need him anyway.
What? Emilio.
If you can't survive that, we don't need the human race does not need weak-ass bitches.
1,001 ways to die.
Yeah.
I heard another story where...
No, that's just a sad tale of how addicting video games are.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No. So, an 18-year-old...
bitch, we don't need him.
Oh, my gosh.
Went missing for, like, 15 years, and they found her, like, of course, 15 years later in a cyber cafe. That's, like, her whole life. She's, like, begging for money just to go back to the cyber cafe.
That's a winning...
She was living off cyber...
That's a winner. Whoa! Money, addiction is real, and it most definitely affects Asians, I'm telling you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
They do like the casino.
Mothers Against Addictive Gaming. What is that?
One Madged. Came out of nowhere. Bobby, go back up. Yeah. So there's a company called Robot Cache. Is that pronounce that right?
Cash.
God damn it. So
I think I'm going to start that. Madge. Mothers Against Addictive Gaming.
Just make it vagina.
MAAG.
You're not a mom.
Oh, yeah,
and you're addicted to video games.
I know. I mean,
you're the worst person to start.
I am the poster child.
Yes.
Of that.
Yeah.
If it I am the poster child of
the poster of you.
I get an A+ in video game addicts. That's
I don't know how they are possibly going to do this. I understand blockchain. So blockchain basically means it's a ledger that everybody on the system knows and it's being tracked by everybody. That's why blockchain's so powerful. Anytime anything ever happens, everybody who's involved knows about what it is. That's what blockchain is. No matter if Bobby sells cheese something, Mini Del Macho is going to know about it because he sold something Bobby 12 weeks ago. And that's how it works. There's a ledger being built, and that's what blockchain is. Blockchain is super powerful. That's what cryptocurrencies are born of, is this blockchain. Anyway, somebody is attributing or applying blockchain to digital PC game purchases. So what they're trying to set up, I don't think it's going to work. I hope it does, but I don't think it's going to work. Is we're going to be able, according to them, is sell each other our digital games. So Bobby, your 40,000 games, you can start selling off of Steam.
Wouldn't Steam have to be in on this?
Exactly. So that's my number one thing. Because we're all going through these different overlays or what do you call them? Clients, right? As soon as this happens, if it works, all the overlays clients are just going to be like, you can't use blockchain to sell our games now. That's it takes one piece, one rule change. It's not even legislation. It doesn't have to go to Congress. Just Steam has to say, no, you can't do this.
Right.
Steam sounds like somebody they might. Steam sounds like somebody that would allow this.
If they could profit from it, of course.
Yeah, they're probably going to charge a tax. But I hope this works. I really do. It'd be fantastic if Bobby could sell every game. If Bobby sold every game he never played and will never play, we would be in our, this studio would be in a plane right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense.
It would probably be for Steam.
It's making all this extra noise. Well, but
dude, all those games are not worth any money. And I bought them for like nickels on the dollar. Like, it's a lot of bundle trash in there.
Yeah, but
you could buy them on G2A.
Okay, let me ask you this, Bobby. Dollar per hour, how much do you think your Steam library is worth?
Dollar per hour?
Yeah, your own
of actual played time?
Of worth it dollar per hour. Of dollar,
just make up an
dollars,
answer, she made up a question.
The dollars per hour of enjoyment. Sorry.
Were you actually
in Steam library?
Of your complete Steam library, which might I add, what is it, 8,000 games?
Okay. 6,500.
Six and a half.
Oh, I don't know. But 90% of that are games that are not
trash.
Good.
Trash. Yeah.
So, I mean, trash. I don't know. I couldn't put a price tag on it.
How much? Okay, if you could put a price tag on HOTS, how much would you pay to play HOTS?
Oh, my accounts?
Oh, Jesus. Or, all your skins, dude?
Yeah,
oh,
my account's worth a lot of money.
I can't imagine.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you were to sell your HOTS account right now, thousands. How much would you sell it for?
I don't think people really would buy it, though. There's not really a big market for like buying accounts these days that I know of. Like back in the day with World of Warcraft and stuff, like, yeah, it could be a lot. I did sell a Steam account many years ago. It was a second account that I had. This is back before, like, Steam was inundated with games, but I sold it for maybe $20 and it had the orange box on it, Left 4 Dead, you know, just like the typical games.
Yeah. And where are we now? So anyway, I think it has a cryptocurrency attached to it is the way I understand it, but not necessarily. I think they're just looking at the way, how awesome would it be for me to like play a game and then sell it to you when I'm done with it? With taking GameStop right out of the
It sounds like a good idea, and it's, you know, something that we're all used to, going to the game store, selling our old game that we don't want anymore, and then picking up a new one. Yeah. But is that something that has been phased out in generations, you think? Like, are people nowadays just used to having games
attached to accounts? I would not like that. And do you know why? Because it's too many. There's so much drama that can come out of a person-to-person transaction. Way too much. And that would involve the drama police who has to come in and mediate the whole issue.
I mean, it's done on eBay all day, every day. They have things in place to keep the drama out.
Exactly. But so, these are well established and outside of just specifically the gaming world.
This is a huge endeavor. I just hope they pull it off. I think it would be fantastic for me to sell you my old copy of whatever. It doesn't matter if it's 25 cents. It's just sitting there. Of course I want to get rid of it.
Okay, I'm trying to run my name through steamdb.info calculator, where you can find the total value, and it keeps giving me an error.
Yeah, it's giving me an error on mine also. I'm trying as well. Yeah, I think it might be down right
I've
now.
Done it before, and I think even in Steam, there's an amount that you have, they calculate how much you've actually spent on your Steam account. So I know that, but I don't know.
I'm so sorry I said homos earlier, guys. Sorry.
I don't think that's an offensive term.
I thought so. Well, yeah. Well, it's really. It's like saying Japs, because that's just an abbreviation.
Yeah,
right?
It's just kind of like a shortened term, but it can be offensive, yeah. Mm.
All right. Let's we'll find out. Let's talk. Well, actually, we're on the listener questions here. A few corrections from the other week. So, someone brought up Watch Dogs, and I don't know why, but I was thinking of Sleeping Dogs. So I told that whole story about the pork bun salesman about Watch Dogs, and the whole time in my brain, I'm thinking Sleeping Dogs. My excuse is I've never played either of those games. So
I got to mix up all.
Yeah, I mean, Sleeping Dogs is like the Asian one.
It's a similar type of game. Like,
it's an open world, action adventure
type game.
Yeah,
it's funny how you say the Asian one, because virtually almost all of it is the Asian one, right? Watch Dogs,
Sleeping Dogs is Asian.
Watch Dogs is.
Watch Dogs isn't Asian?
Boston,
okay.
Yeah, I think.
But that's a game that I've kind of wanted to play, because I've heard good things about it. Like, everyone that's played it even dating back to, you remember Zaya, our old Smite buddy, we had him on the show talking about a game that he developed, but he so long ago. Someone's posted in Twitch. Getting an error.
Yeah, it's still getting an error. I think it might be the internet.
Yeah, might be us. But he even suggested this game to me like many, many years ago. So one of these days I'll play Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah, everybody says that it's a good game.
Yeah.
Before we get into the listener questions, the first one, the second one is coming from Pharaoh Steve. I just want to plug him. He reviews games. He's a a curator on Steam, and also he has a YouTube channel. So check that out. And Mini, you want to plug your Twitch?
Yeah, I'm actually just coming back because I did take a month-long break, but I'm back in Twitch. Same as I am on Discord, twitch.tv/minidelmacho.
And you guys can be the judge to see whether or not he's cuter than me, because this motherfucker had the audacity to say he's the cute one of the group.
Yeah, yesterday. And you, well, you agreed with that. We were taking a selfie. You're like, yeah, you're definitely the more photogenic of us, too.
Yeah,
like,
you definitely are. I am. You are. My Asian level is next level right now. Like, I got the glasses, I got the bangs, I got the, like, the shyness. And I'm still packing on a few extra pounds from high school.
10 years ago. look at she's overall size compared to us, and she's like a tiny little width wise.
It's
I'm fat.
Obviously, I don't know what Victoria's Secret is, because she is whatever she's doing it right, and I'm not on that level.
So you got plus size in there.
Yeah, right. Where are you, Torrid? I'm sorry. No, don't listen to me. Oh my God, I already have it bad enough. Everyone thinks I'm homosexual, and then I'm homophobic. What's a phobia against fat people? They're gonna start thinking
broke
that.
Bobby's programming. He's been sorry. One eye's going this way, one eye's going that way.
All right, Bobby, you take
it. Always gets sloppy at the end.
Go ahead.
So Pharaoh Steve had a few corrections, I guess you could say, a few clarifications on some things we were talking about. You don't have to pre-order Sea of Thieves to get into the beta. You can just sign up. Apparently, he's been in the beta for a while, so we could probably hit him up for some details.
Oh, damn. Pharaoh Steve, I'm sorry that I misled everyone last podcast
I don't know if...
Because I swear I read it.
An NDA on it. I don't know even.
So someone lied to me first, and then I lied to you guys.
You
just
were
saying.
Spreading the lies.
Yeah.
God, we need a
chain of command here.
You know, some games they give you like once you're like in, they'll give you like a three codes or something. It'd be cool if you could like distribute that if they give it to them.
Yeah.
Or
you could personally sell it to me.
I'd probably have 50 codes, but I have not been contacting people. Anyway. Next one.
He also says that Battlefront 2's DLC was always planned to be free. It was never intended to be a pay-for DLC.
Awesome. That's good to know.
Yeah. All right. So moving on to some questions here. Warconius, thoughts on the price of GPUs and memory? Is that going to hurt PC gaming in 2018? Much cheaper to get an Xbox One for 4K gaming. So I think he's talking about what we were referring to earlier with cryptocurrency mining, just inflating the prices of hardware.
Yeah, but one point I didn't mention, I don't think I brought it up, is most people are saying don't build your own PC right now. Just buy a pre-put together, you know.
If you buy a pre-built, then they don't inflate the price.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they already paid the MSRP on those cards. Right. They're not going to inflate the price because the prices are
up. What you can also do is you can apparently buy directly from NVIDIA now. So if you go to their site, I don't know. This is what I read in an article. I don't know if it's actually in place yet, but you can buy directly from NVIDIA, and there's a limit like 2 per customer.
Yeah.
So they're trying to sell more to gamers.
Alienware is going to come back now? Because that used to be like back when I first
that
started.
That was a shit.
Alienware? Yeah. I don't think they ever really went away. I think a lot of people still
Dell
use
bought
them,
right?
Oh.
Yeah, Dell bought Alienware. Yeah, and after that, I think a lot of people were like, you know, they lost the whole, these are PC gamers. You know, it just became part of the...
Yeah, because like after like, let's say 2008, it was always like, if you're a PC gamer, you built your own rig.
Right.
But then like, you know, before that, right now, like Alienware, if you had Alienware, then you were a PC gamer. And now maybe Alienware might be coming back now.
So, I mean, I hope prices go back down in 2018. Like, I don't know what it's going to take to make that happen. Like, either Bitcoin crashing or companies developing hardware specifically for mining that's separate from gaming hardware?
It seems like, I don't know.
Yeah,
what is going on? Why can't they develop mining specific cards on the side and supply them?
I think that's a good market, man.
No, obviously it is. I just don't know why they're not doing it. There must be. Okay, so if they can't make PC gaming graphics cards fast enough, because every time a new card comes out, you have to wait months before you can get the top one, right?
I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to throw this out there. I don't think the money is in hardware. I don't think they're making a bunch of money off of selling a bunch of these cards. Case in point, you look at PlayStation, Xbox, they want you to get that console and they'll sell you it at a very reduced price where they actually lose money just so they get you in the PlayStation ecosystem or the Xbox ecosystem. I think it has something to do with that with graphics cards as well. It's more important for you to be like an NVIDIA fanboy than to actually buy an NVIDIA card. So I don't know.
But what else does NVIDIA really offer outside of their graphics cards?
Well, GeForce, the ShadowPlay, like all that other software. Plus, they have deals with
I think there's way too much competition in that field for them to really...
off their hardware.
It's strictly hardware, in my opinion.
But, I mean, they're selling cards, but...
Their cost is not in the...
It's the
copper and the plastic.
Well, no, it's in the research and development, which is insanely expensive.
It's super expensive, yeah.
And coming from the retailer world, the GameStop world, it was almost strictly units, console units that was really emphasized. They couldn't keep up with the demand, or they purposely limited the demand they couldn't keep up with the demand, therefore they limited the supply to...
Yeah, who knows which one it is.
...perpetuate the demand. Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe this will lead to a surge in console gaming. Nah, console gaming is already big enough.
I know. Switch is fucking big.
Quit breaking my
console
heart.
Did really well this year.
Console did really well considering I thought that trend was going to die, especially with Twitch. Because when you're on Twitch, you're either on mobile or you're on your computer interacting. It takes a social phenomenon to really mainstream something. And I thought Twitch was going to be it. It was going to be that for PC gaming. But the console world is still very strong and it's whatever.
Too strong.
And people still talking about that damn Zelda game. Like people,
I'm gonna buy a Switch. It's inevitable.
Yeah, that's like the main seller of Switch is Zelda because it got amazing reviews. It won like every reward imaginable.
And as far as I could tell, the runner up was fucking Mario.
And Mario, yeah.
I'm 40. My first video games was Mario and Zelda, and fucking it's number one and number two is Mario and Zelda.
Right.
My hat's off to you.
Nostalgia sells. I'm telling you. Nostalgia sells.
I don't think it's
nostalgia.
It has to be.
What's harder, finding a new girlfriend or going back to an ex-girlfriend?
What?
I think we know the answer to that.
Well, for guys, it's different.
I didn't say green screen, Bobby.
I think so.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, a couple more questions from Morconius. He's got a three-parter here. Predictions for Steam in 2018. Will they see Switch's success and try to fund hardware that is handheld, like the GPD or the SmockC? Will Steam start restricting the number of new titles?
No way on the first one.
Yeah, well, no way on the second one.
No. Steam is just going to be Steam.
Okay, so first of all, answering the two questions, will Steam restrict the number of new titles? The answer to that is definitely 100% no. Steam is making so much money off of selling whatever trash
definitely
and asset flipping.
Yes, they've already said they are actively trying to stop the flood of shit games coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Poop games that are just coming through to sell titles. What are they called? The cards?
Okay, just adding more restrictions.
Yeah. Okay. They've come out and said that they are actively trying to combat this, and that they got rid of Greenlight, and now it's, what is it called?
I don't know. Yeah, there's another process to go through it, but it's almost exactly the same as Greenlight.
Yes.
Like, honestly, it's the same thing. As someone who bought Bundle Trash for like 2 years straight, I would make maybe five purchases a week, you know, $2-3 each, but five purchases a week and probably get, I don't know, 20-30 games out of that. That's why I have 6,500 games in my library. Like, every week I was getting like 30 games.
Wow. And Bobby, how,
You sound like their target consumer.
It's asset flipping. It's what they do is they go to a site, they buy a bunch of assets, they make a half-assed game out of it, and they throw it on Steam. Steam makes a cut because they do the whole card thing, And then the company makes a cut because people buy the game in bundles, or they buy the game there just so they can craft the cards. So it's like this whole market, and the people that don't win are the gamers. We just get overloaded with a whole bunch of shit. But it's not the worst crime in the world. You know, it's just a bunch of shitty games that people pay 20 cents
for. I think all gamers are winners, Bobby. Would you not agree?
No.
That's what? A
bold statement. About $6,500 worth of nothing. Air.
Well,
farts in the wind.
Wow.
Zep said his... He said your account was worth like $52,000.
Yeah, retail price. Retail price. Retail, okay, these right games, now. These asset flip games, they are $5, but they are conveniently on sale for 20, you know, buy five for a dollar, you know. You know, the actual value is very different.
But there was a time when you were into collecting as many games as possible, correct?
Kind of. When Steam really blew up was right around the time when I was at about 600 or 700 games. So I would say I probably have about 600-700 good games, like actual games.
Right. Let's say 1,000.
Yeah, okay. Let's call it 1,000 because that was years ago. So that leaves 5,500 just trash games on my account.
Can I ask you this?
This is all I'm saying. You realize that collecting all these games is ultimately for naught, and you're not into that anymore. And also your Steam level eventually, it was for naught, and you're out of that. Do you really think collecting all these skins on Heroes of Storm, you don't think in 2 years you're going to be like, oh my God, why did I spend all that money?
I thought that 2 years ago, but here I am, still playing,
all right,
still buying.
Well, the main motivation for that was your Steam level. You were like trying to get a high Steam level, right? Mm-hmm. That's why you're buying the bundle trash.
Yeah. And it's actually cheaper to not buy the bundle trash and to just craft the cards, honestly. Like nowadays it is. The whole game has changed like throughout the years. Right. But yeah, at this point it's cheaper not to just buy the games. I was just doing it just because that's why I quit. Because after a while it just became a habit. Like I was just like, oh, what's on sale? It's Monday. Okay, what's the deal this day on Indie Gala? You know?
Now there's also another like Steam thing that I've recently come aware of is like achievement hunters, basically like there's like a
they try to get the rarest
and like you spend like 15 seconds on a game, do one thing, like I don't know, punch a dude in the face,
you get them
like
all
100 achievements, like it's just crazy.
Well, they have programs, I can't remember the name of it, Green Jelly I think it's called, but they have programs that will actually give you achievements on Steam.
Really?
You run them, it cracks the game, does whatever, and then you get the Steam achievement.
I like how he's acting like he didn't write that program.
What? Nah. I've never been one, like, really one for achievements. I do get suckered in while I'm playing a game, and I'm just like, eh, fuck, okay, I'll do this.
Yeah, you said it altered your fucking...
It alters the way you play the game. It makes it non-organic. But, like, I've never been an achievement hunter. Those guys are insane. Those guys will spend 40 hours.
I'm going to ask you another weird question, Bobby, because I love doing this to you. If you can imagine your Steam library as a plate of food... Considering all the trash that you have.
Oh my God, it's like McDonald's.
You have a McDonald's library?
There's like a steak somewhere down there, but then it's just covered with a bunch of greasy fries.
You have a McGangbang library. Do you know what a McGangbang is?
A McGangbang?
A McGangbang. It's a thing. A McGangbang.
Let's do that right now.
Is where you take a McDonald's double cheeseburger, not a McDouble, a double cheeseburger. So there's two patties and two layers of cheese. You split open that cheeseburger right down the middle, and you take I prefer the hot and spicy McChicken. You put it in the middle.
Yeah,
You put it in the middle of the double cheeseburger, and then you open up the top, and then you put fries. And then if you want a McGangbang Plus, you put chicken nuggets on top of that, and you put it back together. It's this tower of just trash, but it's the most amazing thing you will ever eat.
Bobby. If you bring me one of those, I will give you $1,000.
Well, isn't that what KFC did?
So hungry.
KFC did that with the Famous Bowl. It's just all their shit thrown into a bowl.
It's so delicious, though.
Yeah, the Famous Bowl.
That. Yeah. All right, back to video games. All right, where are we at?
All right, so predictions for Steam in 2018. What do you think is going to happen? They've been teasing a new UI for the longest time.
Yeah.
So I hope to see that.
Okay, you know what my prediction is? VR is going to overwhelm the entire Steam marketplace. I think VR is going to be bigger and better by the end of 2018.
It will be bigger and better. It won't overwhelm because people can't pay that price.
I guess.
That barrier to entry is like half of a new PC. Is what you're talking about.
But then that's another level of PC elitist, don't you agree? And what drives the market?
But elitists don't drive the market. It's the common
really?
Man. Yeah, they did the, what was it? The GTX 1060 was the most common card on Steam.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which is like,
yeah, most people will buy a $250 card. Level, that's the sweet
spot. That's above me. I'm running on a 970, guys. where does that put me?
Is that a TI at least? 970 TI?
It's a GeForce 970. Not TI.
Oh,
no.
Man, that's old school, man.
Well, you know what? It's okay. I'm still doing everything amazing on my computer. There's nothing it can't handle to my standards. So.
Yeah. All right. Warconius, let's see. Predictions for Game of the Year of 2018. Seems a little early for that. I don't know. Nothing jumped Anthem. Out. Anthem? Oh, my God.
Do you think that's going to take off?
I think that game's going to be such a failure.
I want it to, but I think it's just going to be another.
I really, 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 really hope it.
Another Andromeda or.
The game that we played together and it was fun for a night and that's it.
Black Wake.
The Sea of Thieves.
RPG, she played it too. The big RPG.
What?
God damn it.
What are you talking about?
The shooting RPG.
We played Mass Effect?
To figure out the puzzles. The
it's obviously very memorable.
The raiding. When we did the raiding with like six other dudes.
Oh, Destiny 2?
Destiny.
Okay.
Oh,
Destiny.
Gosh.
It's going to be cool for like a month and then just.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Destiny 2. I haven't touched that game.
I can anticipate that type of.
Like, I don't even know if I'm going to play the when the expansion comes out. I don't even know if I'm going to get back into it. I feel like I've got
no. On. No more Destiny talk. But, I will not allow it.
Anthem, it's just going to be another loot-based, loot-box-driven type of game.
I don't expect much from this game, unfortunately.
That's what I think.
I don't know.
It won't get Game of the Year.
It'll
probably be Zelda or fucking Mario.
It looks pretty, though.
The thing about Anthem is that it appeals to a gaming audience that isn't really an actual gaming audience.
What?
In the sense that it's trying to grab people like from Mass Effect fans, console fans, Mass Effect meets Destiny 2, and there's an audience there, but at the same time, it's not a genre. It's not a actual, like, I don't, how do I put it? It's not a designated, I feel like a lot of gamers are designated MOBA gamers, FPS gamers, RTS, you know, strategy gamers, single player gamers. And it's kind of finding, it's kind of aiming for that market in between, a blurred lines type of market with Anthem. And who knows how that will go,
I hope
right?
It works. I hope it works. I was most impressed with that.
We will see.
Oh, and what's that other one? The one that's like a four-person squad-based. It's kind of like...
Payday?
It's kind of like PUBG, but there's monsters as well.
Oh, right.
Monster Hunter?
Like going into like caves and...
Swampy, like, from what I saw.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of the game, but it looked really cool. It was like
it looks super
kind
cool.
of like a Payday type thing, but really eerie and monstrous.
But there's squads of other four-player guys that you're going to go up against. I forget what that was. Well,
yeah,
right.
It's January. Let's not talk game of the year yet.
Yeah.
All right. Shadow Master asks, what is your favorite game to play when you go to an arcade?
Street Fighter.
I mean, yeah, let's say Street Fighter. Yeah. Obviously.
Street Fighter is an obvious
and
one.
If I'm with more than two people, because it gets lonely at the top. playing some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles four player.
Awesome game.
Guys, Time Crisis. Get out of here. Time Crisis.
That was the moment with the pedal.
Yeah,
I play DDR. No, I like DDR when I don't have to like shove my money into the machine. DDR at home is nice, but DDR at the thing, whatever.
Yeah, the games with the light guns were fun. Virtua Cop was great. House of the Dead
is amazing.
Another one.
I loved Rail Shooters, all those Rail Shooters.
Yeah, I like those old ones, like Area 51, like the super old ones, or what's Tango and
Area 51 is not a good game.
That's a game that you settle with if Time Crisis or House of the Dead is not out there.
Time actors, like real actors, like just doing
mocap,
bad mocap.
And the old one, we brought this up before, Lucky and Wild.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember Lucky and Wild? And you could see in the rearview mirror their expressions when you started like shooting things or the windshield got blown out. Like they'd be like, it was like a Tango and Cash ripoff.
When I was in elementary school, like after like a soccer party, I'd play this game.
I love feeling young enough to not know what this game is.
Lucky
Mind
Wild,
you, I'm only
a year and a half younger than me.
Yeah, I know. I'm not in my 30s yet, guys. I got all the 2018. I'm still in my 20s. So.
Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is still super high on my list.
Yeah.
I think it would be Metal Slug.
Metal Slug is so good.
I killed Metal Slug. I love that game.
For me, the games that don't hold up are those brawler beat 'em up ones, like the Ninja Turtle ones and the Simpsons ones.
Eat up all your money, though. Those are the highest profit ones. Yes, exactly.
Gauntlet
highest profit.
The biggest money grab, man.
Yeah,
Gauntlet was amazing.
I just had like a whole epiphany. Like, we blame them for going for cash grabs now. But that's all that shit was back, right, then.
Back then.
Except order. For Street Fighter. Like, Street Fighter, if you were good,
yeah,
your quarter went hours.
Yeah.
Hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about Pit Fighter? Anyone play a little Pit Fighter?
With the planes?
On the Genesis or the arcade?
Spaceships?
No, it was in the arcade, and then it was on the, Pit Fighter. It was, kind of similar.
Like Fight Club.
Kind of like that, but it had the same graphics as like Area 51, where they had like real people.
Oh, never mind.
Playing through. Or
I'm way off.
There were a lot of good fighting games like that. Oh yeah, if you won, they lifted you up on the crate. You guys don't remember this?
I think I played that once.
Yeah,
the jumping.
Here's the thing, though,
guy.
Guys. When I went to the arcade, and I went a lot. I actually, funny story. I used to have my mom drop me off at the library, and being from Minnesota, all the downtown buildings are connected through a skywalk, which means
so you don't freeze to death.
So you don't freeze to death.
Jesus.
So Christ. She would drop me off at the library, and I would be busy reading my books, quotation, but I would actually take the skywalk all the way to the Galleria and into the arcade, and I would spend the entire day at the arcade, and she would pick me back up at the library.
Wow.
But when I go to the arcade, I like playing the ticket games, that one, the one where you have to hit it when it lands on the number 10, and it's just a big ring.
Like it's light spoon.
I don't like gambling,
I would hit the jackpot. Like, no, that's skill based. Hello. Oh. I would hit the jackpot at least 3 times. So my money actually accumulated into something. I play Primal Rage. I love Primal Rage.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was
a good one.
The monkey would grab his poop and throw it.
Yeah.
It was fireball.
I never played the monkey. The monkey was,
there
I don't like
a lot
playing
of good
monkeys.
Fighter games that we've forgotten about, like Primal Rage and Clay Fighter.
When you say good, I guess at the time.
It's relative, yeah. At the time, they were great.
Yeah.
You know, now if you went back and played them, I don't know if they would hold up. But yeah, a lot of good arcade games out there. All right, Atrocious asks, look at this post on the subject of the GPU and RAM shortage and its effect on the PC gaming industry. It's an interesting take. Maybe you could discuss it on the podcast. So yeah, he had linked an article that it just talked about how what we've been talking about all episode.
Maybe you should vet these questions before we start. All right.
I just throw them on there, and then, you know, what happens, happens. Last one coming from Sniper. You have to kill one, marry one, and fuck one. Game characters from any PC game you've played.
It's too vague,
that's
dude.
Really big.
It's too vague. Like, you should have gave us 3 names, and then we go off of that.
I mean, fuck would have to be, like, just any girl from Dead or Alive, really.
Yeah. Like, all... Like, what woman in a PC game is not... fuckable? That's the real question.
Maybe StarCraft girl that turned into a Zerg queen.
Kerrigan is totally fuckable.
I mean, she's still fuckable.
I mean, yeah, she's hot, but like, would you?
Is it physically possible?
She's like the only girl with 12 dicks. Like, every single one of those like N wing points could be
turning me on. Jeez. A girl with dicks. Oh my god! Two of my favorite things.
Have a talk with Max and tell him what he needs to get going.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so Mary, what's some marriage candidates here for PC gaming?
No, that's a good one.
I'd have to say like Samus from Metroid, because like just a really strong woman.
PC gaming.
She's a scientist, right?
PC?
She's smart.
She has PC shit.
Oh yeah, she's
PC gaming.
Yeah, console. Invalid.
Emulators count.
Almost all of mine are going to be the same person. It's that fucking super hot chick from god damn it, I'm drunk.
I'm still trying to think of like
three-piece space opera.
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. Yes.
Oh, okay.
That. Oh my gosh, she's so hot. That.
Asari?
No, she's human. Dark hair.
She's so hot.
Yeah, she's kind of like the brutal.
The one that's in all of them.
The one from Cerebus.
Yeah, I'd marry Anne.
Something with an M.
Miranda.
There you go.
Okay.
Really hot.
Yeah.
And not hot like in the stupid, like crazy, just like believably hot.
Can I do something unique for me?
Sure.
I am going to take the fuck, marry, kill, and I'm going to actually condense it to one specific game two technically.
What is it?
So I'm going to do a fuck, marry, kill for the Left 4 Dead characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I would kill Rochelle. Fuck Rochelle. Ask me that question. I would fucking kill off Rochelle.
Why don't you kill the zombies?
Bobby!
I thought it was going to be like, fuck Boomer. Kill
No, I'm not including that now. I'm talking about the main characters here. So I would kill Rochelle off. I would probably marry
Who's the guy Alice. In the white suit?
I would marry Alice.
Alice is like the yokel, right?
The country boy. Yeah. He's so
he's
sweet.
Dumb, but there's something.
He's dumb, but he's charming.
Yeah, there's something cute about it.
And then I would fuck Nick and Francis at the same time. I don't know.
Holy shit.
So that's my answer, right. Specifically based on Love or Dead.
That's why they call it DPG. Yeah.
That's not even a thing.
It is now.
On the podcast. #DPG. Don't let her boyfriend see.
He's probably watching right now. Thank you, Emilio.
Of course.
All right. That's all the listener questions we have this week. You can always post those in our Discord.
That question, Bobby.
What?
You dodged that question.
Oh, the Mary fuck. I don't know. I feel like we've answered this before.
Yeah.
Fuck all of them. Kill all of them.
All of them.
Mary, none of them.
Okay.
Okay. Wait. No. How about special infected? Left or dead? Go. Fuck, Mary, kill.
Special infected.
Since you brought it up.
Infected.
Would you fuck the boomette or the spitter?
Fuck the witch for sure.
Oh, the witch, yeah.
The witch. Long... Okay, yeah. Fuck the witch.
Marry
all right,
the boomer. She looks like she can cook.
You would marry the boomette? Oh, gross.
What about the one?
Now you're not being real.
Can I ask you another question? What's that taste like?
No, what's the one with the really long tongue? Because that's the one I want to fuck.
The smoker?
The smoker? That's a dude.
Is it? I mean, smoke it. Let's make it a girl.
No, there's only a smoker. There's no such thing as a smokette. Right? No.
Maybe there's the witch.
Witch and boomette.
Oh, I thought.
Are the only two ladies.
I thought boomer was a dude.
Boomette.
The first one.
The first one
was a boomer. The second one. There are boomers and
boomettes. Let's do some gender swapping.
Yeah, super. Yeah, I want to sleep next to that.
I mean, they're walking corpses, so at that point.
And the spitter is definitely
gender
a female.
Really matter. Yeah. All right.
A swallower,
so,
really.
If you have listener questions, and they can obviously be about whatever. There's no standards or requirements here. You can post those in our Discord. Find that at dlgaming.net. And what's next week looking like for everyone? What are we going to be playing?
I am rejuvenated for Overwatch, so I definitely want to. I've been trying to put together a small team so I don't get stuck with like people who just are refusing to change character if they're doing shitty. So I want to get like a team of people who are okay to flex a bit.
Our wedding. Winning-minded.
Winning-minded, yeah. And they don't just want to, like, I'm DPS only, I will only play DPS.
In watching, like, pros?
I don't know. I kind of want to, like, choose Symmetra and never, I mean, offense Symmetra for
that's
the
why
win.
We're not going to play together.
Yeah, exactly. In watching the Overwatch, like, watching the pros, the supports aren't trying to get kills. But when you're playing online, just randos, everybody's trying to get as many kills as possible. The only people getting kills, not only, but the vast majority is by the assassins or by the DPS, right?
Yeah.
And that's their job. Everybody sets up them for the kills, and then the team pushes.
Right.
And so
you get a pick, and then you got the advantage, and you push.
But if you're playing just a random team, everybody's just trying to get the biggest points possible. And I think that's one of the selling points on watching this, like watching a team work together as opposed to like everybody just trying to get as many kills as they could can. Overwatch is kind of like tickling me. I kind of want to go back to it a little bit. Go play.
We have to take you to Owl because it's so cheap. Let's just do a group trip to Owl. And I want to bring Max this time.
Definitely.
Are we calling it Owl? Is that the
Everyone calls it Owl. Yeah.
Really? They call it Owl.
Let's all go cosplay.
I don't like a three-letter word that it has two syllables. That just doesn't... I don't like that.
You don't want to call me Chi-E? Chi-E?
No, see, that's too much.
Too much.
I guess O-W-L is...
Can we do dab titties?
I don't know.
Dab titties.
Maybe some Overwatch and XCOM 2 and fucking Shadow of War, which are not going to happen.
They are billions, guys. That's it. They are billions for me.
I recently started playing some of the Serious Sam games again.
Fun.
So BFE or maybe Serious Sam 2 might get into both of those. I'm halfway through Serious Sam BFE. Never beat it. Left off halfway through it. So maybe I'll try to finish that.
I don't think I've
up.
Ever beat a Serious Sam game, but I've gotten through more than 50% of all
of them.
It's
because they're dog shit, dude.
They're fun.
But after, like, it's not something you play all the way through. You get bored of, well, at least for me, like
it's like a one man wave survival.
Yeah.
And the plot is terrible and the voice acting is god awful, but
And yeah, speaking for too. Bobby, Chi, Emilio, and Mini Del Macho, Mini, close us out.
What did we say we're going to do? Dab titties.
Dab titties. Dab titties. Really? 3, 2.
Oh my God. You dab guys titties. Know it's like 2018. Did you guys just like figure out about dabbing or something?
No, it's just, we've never done it yet.
Are we out? Can you close it out?